should have tried that.
Approved by the State Arts Board to be exactly the same as the six that they distributed the funds to last year, and that they, the last 2 years in the biennium, and that they followed the identical allocation formula, which to simplify matters, in 1 year they simply divided the fund equally among the group, and the second year they divided it on a percentage of income of the individual organization to the total income of the or of all those organizations within that group, and then adding the two together. If that same formula were applied, that would be what the grants would look like. We cautioned them on the point that that was done 2 years ago with a very limited amount of funds, and there was no guarantee that the, and in fact the assumption had to be the other way, that the State Arts Board with more money would consider the list in a more expansive term, and that the allocation formula would not necessarily be the same. But simply to give everyone an example of how the monies could be broken down. Now this list shows if the list were expanded to the 15 largest organizations as opposed to the six largest, what the percentage would end up being, what the dollar amounts would be of the, what was the $1,143,000 on statewide arts resources. This also did not get into the question of how the money would be made available to them if it were, in terms of support money versus program money and so on. This was an attempt to give them a bottom line. In fact, it's the figure that you have in the draft of the recommendations in front of you now. It simply took the first line, which was the system-wide need as we had evolved it through the trend study model, and added it to it the following items which would otherwise be in the State Arts Board budget, namely what they are currently requesting for community organizations grants, what they're currently requesting for educational monies, and their current request for administration funds for that entire amount. In addition to that, you will recall we did not put a dollar figure on grants to artists, and in fact what we are talking about is in addition to current State Arts Board programs for artists, but we simply did take the 5% figure, which is mandated under current legislation of total Arts Board funds for individual artists, and put that on the figure as well, and that gave a total State Arts Board appropriation of $2,593,000. Again, that was cited as a hypothetical example if those figures were followed by the state legislature. This slide was put together primarily to show legislators that the arts system statewide already is providing a fair amount back into the system, most graphically in the area of taxes, which you can see exceeds the current State Arts Board appropriation by at least 50%. Now, did this have, this was the slide we showed them, did this have, has this been
it hasn't been corrected yet, no.
All right, this is to be updated to show at Sandy Hale, the chairperson of the State Arts Board request, a third pie. But the important point of the pie, as the three pies that are here already, is to show that this represents the concentration in the industry already, which is right there, in terms of these are total public sector dollars that go in the metropolitan area as opposed to the non-metropolitan area. These are total private sector dollars to go to the metropolitan area as opposed to the non-metropolitan area, bearing in mind that that more or less accurately reflects the concentration and activity which we found. Contrary to those two models, the State Arts Board is already distributing far more statewide than either the public sector generally, recognizing the national endowment plus those two county funds, or the private sector is. The fourth pie that is to come up there will further break down the large pie, showing that of the metro funds, a significant portion of those go to metropolitan-based organizations for non-metropolitan activities, such as Artmobile, Guthrie Theater touring, and so on, in the regions, as opposed to being spent here in the metropolitan area. That pie, Sandy pointed out, and I agree with her, is somewhat deceptive. It helps show the State Arts Board is going far further than the system is in terms of spreading funds out. But it is deceptive in that that amount of money is not ending up in the metropolitan area out of the total state artificial appropriation. That is the sort of a flow chart of how monies would go under the proposals discussed by this commission through the State Arts Board, which would retain jurisdiction over statewide arts resources, ancillary arts organizations, individual artists, obviously would have its own funding for its own administration, would in addition direct funds to regional arts councils, which in turn would be using the funds both for their own administration and for project grants to regional arts resources and, I would assume, local arts resources and ancillary organizations within the region. All right. Any questions on that before we start our own homework?
Steve, how did the legislature receive this presentation?
My impression was that they received it very well. David?
I had the impression that all of our friends were here.
I did.
So that's not the legislature, it's those who were here.
But there were a lot of significant influential.
How many did you have?
We've got 15 or 20 at various times.
Are there many out in states?
Half a dozen of them. More than that, probably. Probably half.
Andy, can you find the link with me? Stranish, you were at the meeting. Was your impression? I thought they were basically very friendly and
yes,
interested.
I thought so. Mm-hmm. And I assumed that the ones that came would be that way anyway. So
I hope
it doesn't really mean much.
It was not a topic. It was not an appropriations hearing. But it did include a number of extremely influential senators and representatives. Nick Coleman was here briefly. Ray Farisee, was it Moe?
Roger Moe,
who's new chairman of the Senate Finance Committee. All good people. We have a lot to try and get through, so I would like to go right into a discussion of the report, back to the findings and recommendations. And I assume all of you have copies of the latest version, which was mailed out and received by me, and I assume by the rest of you, on most of you, a couple of exceptions, on Saturday. Does anyone not have a copy? Harry, did you get one? Linda, where's Linda? Do you have an extra copy for Mary, or does Mary have one now?
Oh, I'm sorry, I was giving one to John. What do you want?
Mary didn't get one, and Andy Andrews did not get one.
Save your eyes.
Now, what I'd like to do, if I have your concurrence, is first to review very quickly what we approved before, pointing out the changes, if any, in the text which were requested by the Commission at its last meeting. And the first batch will all be recommendations which we have already voted on, subject to a couple of points being put in. They were all formally approved. I'd simply like to acquaint you specifically with those corrections which you requested, and what I hope is a routine approval of that, and then go on to where I think we should be concentrating our time, the new material, the new findings and recommendations, some of which you may want to discuss in some detail. Turning to the draft you have in front of you.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Mr. Duff.
Just give us quickly a picture now. Have all our contemplated recommendations been drafted now? Where are we?
Where are we? It's a good question. I think the bulk of our recommendations have been drafted. I think everything in front of you includes
all of the material we propose to recommend with the following exceptions. One, there is some thought among several of the commissioners that we ought to try, if we can, to expand at least our findings in the area of education. We may not have any recommendations, but they'd like to see a further elaboration. There's a tremendous amount of data there, and a number of commissioners, in fact, a number of legislators, and a number of people in the community who've seen these have urged us to do a little more on that if we can possibly do it. That means more work for Jimmy. Secondly, we have had in abeyance, but we are still charged with getting back to you, a redraft of the original David Durenberger memorandum on the issues of accountability and governance. I think it's now called accountability of the arts organizations in terms of whether they should have things like public meetings and so on. That still has to be submitted to you. And in addition, we were to rework the draft, which you all received, again, I think it was originally a David Durenberger draft, of the so-called delivery system, which is an outline of how the state arts plan would work. Those are the only things I believe that are still missing. Linda?
That's right.
So, what I would hope is, if we can get through today these findings and recommendations, I would like to get those three items prepared and mailed to you within the next week to 10 days so that all of you can consider them and give us your comments, ideally in advance of the meeting. We'll be able to concentrate at the next meeting, which I hope will be the last meeting, on any points of difference on those findings. And at that meeting, approve just those final points and then adopt the report with any exceptions to it that we choose at that time. So that's where I hope we are, depending on how far we get today. All right. Now, turning to the first page, major findings and recommendations. Findings 1, 2, and 3 were all approved with the following notes. Footnote 1 was added to specifically define what we were talking about as a cultural event. In paragraph B, the words both artistic and administrative were inserted at the request of the commission. And in findings C, footnote 2 was added, again at the request of the commission. Next page. Findings 4 and 5 were approved. In finding 5, the footnote was added at the commission request, identifying the 5 outstate large arts organizations. Finding 6, concentration of income is new. I think what I would do, since it comes in chronological order at this point, is just ask you to quickly check that. I would assume it is non-controversial. And if so, I'd like to approve it along with these other changes at the in one batch.
Chairman, I move approval.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any further discussion? We're approving only this portion of this is finding 6.
I guess I'm surprised that there are only 4. They're over $1 million. I don't know, and I'm not necessarily suggesting you name them. I know that has been the custom of the past amendment.
It depends on how you, the Minneapolis Society of Fine Arts, if you break that one down, 3 of its components are over $1 million as well. One of them isn't, so it would be 6 if you broke the Minneapolis Society down. Otherwise, and it doesn't hurt to name them, they all publish annual reports. It's the Walker, the Guthrie, the Minnesota Orchestra, and the members of the Minneapolis Society of Fine Arts.
So there's a motion on the floor, is it? I'm sorry, Ann.
Shouldn't there be something about based on 1975 figures and something in there, since the others
right.
at least talk about the year.
Well, let me say something. There's an additional insert for nonprofit organization section that's been passed out. And I sort of, when I read through this, my feeling was that somebody outside looking at this set of findings would need this little insert as a sort of start off. And it says, in 1975, there were 350 nonprofit arts organizations in the state of Minnesota. The Governor's Commission on the Arts studied their operations by sending each a copy of the primary survey, to which 233 organizations responded. I think that with that kind of introduction, the rest of it would be clear. We know what size of the universe we're talking about, how many respondents, and we know we're talking about 1975.
I still think we have to say four nonprofit arts organizations in Minnesota reported in 1975 income and expenditures, because I suspect that in 76 there are additional
income and expenditures in 1975. All right. Any other?
Well, wouldn't it be helpful to the reader to follow the practice of 5 and 7 and have a footnote that identifies the four?
That was my next point, yes. I think we should. At the end of that sentence, put a footnote.
Actually, after the word four is the way you've done it.
I'll leave it up to the editor to find the proper place. Mm-hmm. With those two corrections, are there any more? All right. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, carried. Finding 7 is identical with the addition of the footnote 4 as requested by members of the commission. Next page, no changes. Findings 8 and 9 were approved verbatim last time. On page 4, the changes. This was approved, it's now called finding 10. It was originally approved as finding number 11 with four requested changes. One, in the first line, the nonprofit arts industry was added at the commission request. Two, footnote 5 was added to explain that the 49% figure was an industry-wide average and that it varied considerably within the industry. Next, on the line captioned earned income, the language was added at the request of a commissioner as a percentage of total income. And in paragraph number 2, the last portion of that will probably not be able to remain at the 8% of operating income was added. Down at the bottom of page, the word third word in the last sentence, however, this funding was inserted in lieu of the word boom, which certain members of the commission took exception. With that, that is verbatim before, and those were all changes requested by the commission at that point. On page 5, recommendation 1 was approved by all with the exception of Representative Duff. Yes, Steve.
Perhaps my memory is not quite clear, but I recall some discussion on the use of the language, both on page 4 and on page 5 in recommendation 1, where a misleading impression can be given if the word private sector support is declining, is used without qualification. It reappears without qualification. The fact of the matter is that in dollars it is increasing. And as a matter of fact, it is changing in terms of its relationship to other income, but it is increasing along with the entire system. I think we set ourselves up for a rather difficult political.
I think you were just to say changing.
Well, I think Steve's point is that we brought this up at the last meeting. That's my memory too. And I think there was a suggestion I think that what Steve's referring to, Steve, is right in the middle of page 4. It says, moreover, endowments depend on private sector support, which is declining. And my memory is that that point was raised at the last meeting, and we had agreed that private sector support is not declining in terms of absolute dollars, it's growing. And it may be, and this should reflect that, namely, while private sector support is increasing, the amounts of monies spent on the arts are increasing to a point where the absolute percentage is decreasing.
Yes. Jimmy just pointed out to me there was another change which I did not catch. The words in actual dollars were added after inflation rate in paragraph 3 at the end of the second sentence in the past $3. But endowments have been
modifier to the, or an explanation.
Yes.
As a matter of fact, total income from the private sector to operating accounts and endowments is declining. It was $12,300,000 in 1972, and it was only $12,100,000 in 1975. So total dollars are declining. It's in the operating category where dollars are, in fact, increasing, just at the rate of inflation. And I guess my feeling is that in the past 3 years, private operating support was just ahead of the rate of inflation, and actual dollars is sufficient to cover that point in the operating account.
The point, though, is well taken. This is an area that is one of considerable sensitivity to the legislature and to the public, which is not going to be able to focus on fine nuances. I think it's perfectly reasonable to state that while growing in total dollars, it is in fact growing.
Aren't they declining to endowments, though, too, private sector? I was going to say, could we clarify to say that private sector support to endowments is declining?
Private sector support to endowments, let me see if I can give you exactly what's happening. In terms of operating, private sector support in actual dollars is increasing, but it's only increasing at about the rate of inflation currently. In terms of overall dollars, private sector support to these organizations is declining. It declined from $12,300,000 to $12,100,000. That's in actual dollars. In terms of endowments, it is slightly increasing. The endowment account going from something like 1.9 to 2.1 between 74 and 75. The place where it's really declining is in capital accounts, as the facilities are finished and the capital fund campaigns which went to construction are wound up. The amount of private sector dollars coming into facilities accounts is decreasing significantly.
There's an explanation for that.
Yes. Well, let me just say that I don't care about the sensitivity angle. I don't care about, in this instance, how it looks to the legislature. I just care that we present the facts as accurately as possible. And I'm not sure that it's accurate to say that they're declining. I accept Jimmy's figures as always, but if you had a situation where for 2 or 3 years the private sector was giving enormous sums of money for capital fund drives, and then those buildings got built and so there were no longer capital fund drives, I wouldn't say the next year that private support for the arts was declining. I'd say that the other is an extraordinary event that shouldn't be considered part of the total picture.
This is very important.
Well, could we change that word declining and the recommendation to slower growing? Wouldn't that make the point without leading to a misunderstanding?
Or Phil, how about smaller percentage of the whole?
What I was going to say in paragraph 3, the first line of it, was private sector support to operating income, while continuing to increase in actual dollars, has declined from 36.3% of total operating income 25.8% in 1975.
Read that again, please.
Private sector support to operating income, while continuing to increase in actual dollars.
Right.
Steve, is there a problem with that?
I'm troubled by the use of the negative in this whole category. You may want to. It may sound a lot more constructive to say just what you said at the outset, that private sector contributions to the system have actually increased over the period of examination, but that costs of providing services are increasing more rapidly than the projected increase in private sector dollars. That's a positive statement rather than making a pejorative statement about the people in the private sector. It encompasses the same thing. You're trying to illustrate a need. And the point of this report is to illustrate that the public sector ought to be meeting that need. But the way you illustrate that need, you could do it in two ways. And I think here we're illustrating it negatively.
Yeah, the other thing you might do is take the phrase beginning moreover and two out entirely. That simplifies that side, given the
Well, you ought to put the positive statement about private support increasing in the first sentence. Mm-hmm. And then state, however, that it has declined as a percentage.
Well, I would put it even more positively than that. Say, however, costs have risen so.
But you're really talking about expenditures here, aren't you? Or funds that have been raised.
Well, when you're talking about percentage, then you have to say percentage of what. And see, I think that what the average legislator will want to know is this. The arts were always paid for primarily privately in the past. When we come in there talking about public money, and the first question is, well, wait a second, if it was private in the past, why can't it be private now? And there can only be one of two answers. One answer would be that the private sector isn't giving as much money as it used to. Now, I don't think that's true. And the other answer would be the private sector is doing as well or better than before, but the costs have risen so high that it's not possible to keep up. And I think that's the answer, and I think they want to know that, whether they accept it or not. I think if that's the fact, we should make it clear.
What the way may be to do this is to, again, a footnote, I would suppose changing the text to reflect have increased in real dollars, but not as a percentage of total cost of system or total expenses of the system, with a footnote showing base year 1969 total contributions, 1975 total contributions, but then total expenditures 1969 and total expenditures 1975, which will show quite graphically A, the dollars have increased, because I think that's what the figures show.
And operating they have, yes.
And B, the costs of the system have increased. Now, Jimmy, one of the problems with identifying the capital count in that fashion is that that period reflects in detail one-shot contributions for a particular endowment drive or a particular building program which are being paid off.
That was just 71, 72 were the two big years, yes.
Well, that's why if you take that phrase out of the finding, then you avoid that problem.
All right. I take that as a suggestion.
After the moreover.
I would prefer to let Linda rewrite it rather than our trying to redo this in the committee.
Steve, I would like to make another suggestion, and this, again, is along the lines of being positive in our statements rather than impliedly negative. Under earned income, it says the percentage of income coming from endowments has been declining, and it will probably not be able to remain at the 8% of operating income in the future for two reasons. Now, I don't happen to believe either of those reasons. And I would rather state something like this. The percentage of income coming from endowments has been declining. That's a statement of fact. And it will take strenuous efforts and substantial contributions from the private sector to have them grow enough to offset the effects of inflation. We have enormous pools of capital in this community. And to say that they are not going to be contributed in substantial amounts toward the endowment of the arts, it depends upon the salesmanship that's exerted.
Well, let me give you some numbers in that respect.
Go ahead.
Given our trend model, our projection, you know, with the real growth and inflation and whatnot, this is how endowments would have to increase. From 1977, they would have to go at $36,958,000 to not $40,483,078, $43,651,000, $46,818,000, $49,986,000, $53,216,000. By 1984, they'd have to be at $59,677,000. Which
now, that's an increase of $25 million, isn't it?
An increase of $23 million, right.
$23 million.
Between now and 1984. And that would take an increase every year of more than $1 million above the highest endowment contribution in the 69-75
period. I know, but that's perfectly possible. After all, the physical facilities have been bought and paid for, and if you get substantial contributions over the next 6 or 7 years, they're probably going to be for endowment.
Another thing about the current 8% figure is it also reflects a certain amount of money that was taken down. I mean, to keep at 8% in 1975, one organization had to take down a significant amount of money out of the endowment and use the capital for operating. I guess my expectation is not that the industry, I mean, endowment accounts sort of go like this depending on what's happening in other sectors of the
system.
To some extent, but if you have people working continuously at this, the prospect of raising that much money in 6 or 7 years doesn't trouble me at all.
Besides your statement, and we'll probably not be able to, that already fooled you. So you should use a positive approach.
Well, I say it will take strenuous effort.
Yeah, and
to keep them growing at a rate which will keep up with
inflation. Don't give up on paper.
Which it will. But it.
I guess I dislike the concept of adding an editorial comment at this stage, particularly since we have to address specifically what we want to do with endowment drives generally in another section of the report. I would feel more comfortable. We've agreed that, I assume we've agreed, Linda is going to be revising the next paragraph, which has to do with private sector support. I would be sympathetic with the concept of identifying the fact that the percentage of income coming from endowments has been declining, and adding that it will probably not be able to remain at the rate of 8% without major efforts because of the fact that the system itself is growing at a rate, and recognizing that it requires $17 for every dollar of income.
All right, I don't think you need to state the $17 for every dollar of income.
Well, I think that is important because that shows for every dollar that you want of income from endowments, which is going to affect the percentage of endowment towards the total, it requires $17 generated.
Well, that's somebody's calculation, Steve, but I can go right out now and invest at 9% and I only need $11.
In fact, no organization in the 1969-75 period made more than 7%, I don't think, on endowments in that period.
That's just an arithmetic assumption. If you show what your
And it
your
shows
yield
it's
is,
based on 6% earnings.
Any way you want, so I don't think it makes that
It shows 6% earnings, so that doesn't, I mean, in the statement it says 17 for every $1 yield based on 6% earnings.
But I think you just say that it'll take substantial accruals or something like this to endowment funds to keep up with the inflationary rise in need. I don't think you need to say any more than that. That's the truth.
Well, let's do this one step at a time. Are we agreed as to the second changes which Linda is going to do? There is no dissent. As to the sentence on income from endowments, we have no objection to the fact that they have been declining. That's a statement of fact.
That's a statement of fact.
Do we have any objection to the fact that, what was my earlier version? That it will require substantial efforts
to remain, 8%
to remain at 8% simply because of the growth of the system and the amount of additional dollars needed, with an example, to produce any $1 of endowment.
Except I wouldn't put in your 17 to 1 because...
Well, I think we have to show in some fashion, and we can argue over whatever the endowment yield is,
yeah.
But if in fact that has been the average endowment yield over the entire base year period, I think we could put in 7%, we could put in 11%, we could put in 3%, but historically, over the critical period of the analysis, if it's been 6, I think that is a fair model.
Well, I think the main point is that you're taking, whether it's 11 or 17, you're taking large dollars out of the quote system, the private system, and I think that's the example that you've got to get in here, and I don't think it makes that much difference what the figure is.
Is that acceptable, Mr. Bean?
Yes.
All right, are there any other objections that Linda will...
I wanted to have an addition, too. I thought maybe it'd be helpful to run that table, such as we had in the slideshow, where it showed these percentage patterns for the 69, 72, and 75, to run it ahead of this so people can see.
You're going to clutter up your text.
All right.
This is to be just... You've got as many pages as you want in your report. Anything that's critical that has to be technical, add as a footnote, but let's not put tables in here if we don't have to. It's hard enough to read. All right. With those qualifications,
May I add one more thing on page 4, and that would be to change in the second to the last line, endowment to NEA, so that we don't confuse it with the endowment that we're discussing above.
Which?
Yeah.
Oh, yes, so National Endowment for the Arts.
And this is the second reference to the endowment right here.
Yeah.
Change that to NEA.
All right, now, we went through recommendation 1, which was page 5. On page 6, there are no changes.
Steve, may I toss in something, and I'm not sure whether it applies to recommendation 1 or not. It dawned on me as I read through this that I don't think any place we have said that the actions of the State Arts Board ought to the greatest extent that was feasible to be utilized to encourage private, increase private giving and also local giving. And I have something that I wrote out here, and Steve, I'd like you to criticize it, and I don't know where it belongs. I mean, I just think that some place we ought to say this, something like this. The commission further recommends that to the greatest extent feasible, the funds allocated to the State Arts Board or to specific institutions be so used as to encourage increases in contributions from the private sector as well as local governmental units. And now it seems to me we should not allow any legislator to say that here's a way of drawing on state funds and the private sector is going to bow out.
Well, we do have extensive findings on the subject of private sector giving, particularly to the institutions themselves and to corporate sector and to foundations to broaden their base and to assume part of the burden of broadening the base of giving. Now, if we were to include a recommendation, it seems to me that would be the point to do it.
What do you think, Steve? I mean, first of all, it's my idea, and secondly, where it ought to be.
Well, I support the idea completely. I think that the placement of it, Steve is addressing
that.
I think
that may be the place for it, and all I wanted to do was introduce it. That was it.
All right, Steve.
Mr. Chairman, I do have one question on recommendation 1, and that is the need for the parenthesis in the next to last line and the last line. In the light of our last 30 minutes of discussion.
Earned income and organization, private sector support.
The parenthesis, right. A reversal of the current trend of declining private sector support. I just wonder if that's not
after
necessary. I think it's unnecessary.
At the last meeting, there were parens after every single percentage, and the commission said we should take 2 of them out and leave this one in.
That was the decision.
Well, I recommend that we take that out. It just raises the flag again, which doesn't need to be raised.
I guess I have no fault with the purpose of that recommendation is to set priorities, and everything else is not priorities, excuse me, goals for each segment of the industry. And I guess I have no conceptual problem in leaving it as simple goals and not editorializing at that stage. Linda, do you have strong views?
Oh, I'm all for taking everything out.
It simplifies. All right. The recommendation from Mr. Sell is to delete the material in parentheses.
My feeling on it, the reason it's in there is because we're arguing for 20% public sector support, and 20% is a really minimum statement when you analyze this whole entire recommendation. 20% is a minimum need. And I guess may I make a suggestion which is sort of half-baked way between, which is a reversal of the current trend and just take a declining private sector support out. I guess I feel that the 20% figure is a stronger statement if one points out that the 55 and the 25 are really, you know, as much as we possibly can expect from those two sectors.
I think using that doesn't really solve the problem because it reinforces the attitude that there is a reduction in the responsibility held by the private sector for the system. It's misleading. It may be statistically correct, but it's misleading.
I think this, I don't have the figures in mind. The question I'd asked you the other day was, what's the dollar amount or the percentage amount between the rate of private growth now and the rate of private sector contribution at 25%? I think we could have a strong positive state recommendation here that private sector increase its giving by whatever that percentage is in order to remain at 25% of the total. And that would be a positive statement to the private sector to increase its giving in order to stay at 25%.
They would have to, I think, increase their giving to stay up with the growth of the arts industry. Yes. Essentially.
I think that's the point. And at the expense of burdening the report, I would recommend that if we want to do that, we footnote and put that in as an example, what it is now, what percentage increase it will take to remain at 25%. In terms of, and do put a dollar figure in, and that be qualified as a for example, because we don't know for sure that's going to take exactly X dollars. But to give a sense, it's very hard in dealing just with statistics and general abstract statements to realize the impact of them. And I think it does not hurt at that point to show that simply to remain at 25% will require significant additional dollars per year, which is the thrust of the discussion.
I know,
right?
You proved that elsewhere. And I don't know why you should put dollars in there if you don't put dollars in every other place.
Just as a matter of style, there are very few places, or none that I could find in a fast look, where you editorialize on a recommendation, where you qualify it the way you do here.
All right, then let's. I'm for consistency and style. There's plenty of places we can handle that. All right.
And all these findings will have the numbers, the page numbers, citing where they can find the information on this in the report. So if anyone wants further clarification, you should be able to read through.
I gather it's the sense, assuming that we do cover this properly elsewhere, and I will make a note on my copy that we are to see somewhere in the text the statement of the dollar growth required.
$592,000 in 1978.
Mr. Chairman? I'm sorry.
Have you finished that point?
Yes.
While you're looking at recommendation one, I have a suggestion for clarity. You know, when we get down the last line and it says public support. Now, the word public gets subject to a lot of interpretations. If we wanted to be really clear, so no one would misunderstand, we'd say tax support. But if we don't,
or government.
People veer away from the word tax. But so we should at least say public sector. So I think so. It's no, right. But tax is what would really be clear to any reader. Right.
Well, it's that tends to load it somewhat too. In terms of tax support, implies in some fashion increased taxes. There is already public sector support, which is tax money in national endowments, which is coming in here irrespective of what we do with the system. There is already in place tax support in a very significant way through the Hennepin and Ramsey County mill levies. And those are major components. What we're talking about here is the float to stay at 20%, which is defined later on, and I think it's in the next section. No, it's several sections later. At any rate, your suggestion is we insert a word, and I would have no objection to the word sector, if there's no objections elsewhere. Public sector support, 20%. All right. Next, page 6. Yes.
Could I ask again? I should have noted this last week's meeting. I think it was the same language. In in the second line, that word should.
Right. We were going to correct that today.
Should be may.
On this will. It should have been will.
No, it should be may.
Or it says by 1977.
It's a typographical error. It should have been. I think it was will was the line
which
we just decided on.
He's on page six, second line.
H.
That should be will.
And that should not be H. That should be section B on your outline. It was a
finding 11.
Finding 11, paragraph H.
you like in Bravo? No, wait.
Right.
Page Bravo. 6, Roman 3, Public Sector Support of Nonprofit Arts Organizations, Finding 11, Paragraph H, Public Support in Minnesota.
Or in some people's copy, Steve, it was corrected to follow the outline given on the first page, and this is really section 2B.
Let me go through it this way.
Okay.
I had a hard enough time going tracking these sections last time. I think the correct word in that line is, by 1977, it will, and that is a fact, decrease to 40%. And that is typographical error, which we should catch.
I think, Steve, I think it's may. It depends upon several
it's
other
set.
Functions.
No, it's been set. This is, by 1977, that's the mill levy.
Yeah.
It decreases as a percentage of the system.
Yeah.
There are no other taxes currently proposed.
Then it's in.
Fact.
It's not by, it's in.
It's in 1977.
Okay.
Well, then how about the second part of that sentence then? And their support is expected to grow only to meet inflation. How do we arrive at these expectations of what governmental bodies are going to do in the future?
Hennepin County, which is the major portion of it, makes its own estimate of what the mill levies are going to raise, what the total accessible, whatever it is, assets are in Hennepin County. And we took 0.35, which is the current mill rate, times the expected value of those assets and got this amount of dollars, and it's slightly less than the increase that one would expect from the rate of inflation.
Well, rather than inflation, no, it should be increases in the assessed valuation of
the statement is vague in the use of and the word expected is inaccurate, because it is, the growth factor on that is the increase in the assessed valuation of the property in the counties in question. There is not in place the authorization or the enabling legislation to raise the mill levy. They get a percentage of that, but that will increase. It's not strictly, it's not the traditional inflation factor. It's the inflation in real estate values, which
okay,
may be different.
Then it's expected to grow only to reflect the increase in the valuation base or something like that.
Yeah.
Take the word inflation out.
But the reader has no idea what the valuation and base is, whereas he will have an idea what the inflation rate is, and they are very similar.
Yeah, but we're using inflation as we use that in so many other places. It's confusing here.
Well, why are we making the assumption that the Hennepin and Ramsey County boards won't decide to put more dollars into these activities?
I think the main thing is, if you look at Hennepin County, it's largely a very long-standing support of the Art Institute that comes back, I don't know how far back that goes. And,
1911.
And that's on very specific funding. And there have been attempts to get them to increase, and I guess Ramsey County is the same way, and that's a specific statutory amount. So that
yeah, ladies and gentlemen, I don't mind arguing over principles or recommendations, but I do over fact.
Yeah.
It is a fact that those taxes, that will not vary. And the reason is it requires enabling legislation by the state legislature to increase the mill levy. The mill levy cannot be changed for either of those counties. That happens to be a function of how that particular tax is permitted. It takes they do not have independence on an issue of this type that requires special legislation. The special legislation would have to occur in the 77 legislature for it to be effective for the first year in 1978. So for 1977, which is the statement here, the increase is only what the increase in real estate values will be. And the point of this statement is to show that since a great portion of those monies are Hennepin and Ramsey County based, and that base is not increasing but by inflation, the percentage in the system will change.
I'm a dissenter here, so maybe I shouldn't say anything, but that doesn't satisfy me, because to a reader, it just says there's no, we can't look to Hennepin and Ramsey counties for any more money. We're just as over assuming that.
Mm-hmm.
And as a matter of fact, if the Hennepin County commissioners and the legislators from that representing Hennepin County decide they want more money, they could come over here and everybody else agrees to it. That's the way it works.
Well, maybe then you should say that.
I don't see why you should make that assumption. Though.
Well, maybe you then say their support, comma, barring legislation, comma, is expected, and then make that change about
find changes in legislation.
Bill, the chance of anything happening, I think, is zero.
Because one of the things that's being recommended here, I think later on, is to permit, in effect, general funds to be used for this purpose.
Okay.
And maybe you change the word expected for unlikely, something like that. It's not quite as strong.
Mm-hmm.
Linda?
Yep.
Take. With that editorial change in language,
did you adopt
findings
suggestion of something that it's expected to grow only as the valuation base increases, which I think is more accurate.
Yeah, when I read this the first time, I read it the other way around.
So it would be of local support is from Hennepin and Ramsey counties, and their support, barring new legislation, is expected to grow only by the rate of assessed valuation.
Well, it is unlikely that their support, comma, barring legislation, comma, will grow, you know, more than to do this rate-based thing. I think that Linda should draft it. I don't think we should spend our time on it.
All right. This finding 11. And recommendation 2 were both approved last time. We are tending to retread a bit. Recommendation 3. This was approved as part of this, and the previous recommendation too were approved as a one recommendation last time. There are some changes here. The dollar amount was corrected to $2,043,000. Section funds for ancillary arts organizations, community organizations, and education art programs was changed at the request of the commission, and the section which starts out, what is that new? Yes, there's a new sentence. The state share of public support for nonprofit arts organizations is not expected to exceed 40% of the 20% level through 1984. In terms of the nonprofit arts organization's total operating income, the state share is not expected to exceed 10% through 1984. That was to reflect the actual percentage of public dollars that national endowment dollars represented at the request of members of the commission. Those were the only changes on page 7.
Steve, I might also point out that whole paragraph, public sector financing, was removed from another recommendation and put here with a nonprofit arts organization as requested by the commissioners, rather on total public support for all arts resources.
This was an attempt to try and keep
what it applies to, only nonprofit.
The recommendations in the sectional area that they were, the text came. Now, at this point, we've switched to areas where we have fairly substantial changes, and I'd like to skip over them for a moment and come back to them. I'd like to go directly for a minute to page 12, which is community organizations, where there are no changes. Findings 18 and recommendation 9. And page 13, artists, which is finding 19 and recommendation 10. There are no changes with two typographical errors which occurred in the first version. One, I'm on page 13. The long sentence, it's the next to the last sentence in recommendation 10, which starts, they could, in addition, in the form of grants similar to an academic sabbaticals, should be just academic sabbaticals. And paragraph 1, under that paragraph, Minnesota Fellowships, the intention of the commission was unrestricted, not restricted.
Oh.
All right. Now, I would like, for the record, if we can, approve all the changes I've discussed today and the recommendations as we have reviewed them this time up to this point, which includes page 1, 2, with the two new changes we were going to put in paragraph C, 3, 4, with the changes that Linda will make on the two paragraphs, endowments and private sector, 5, with the caveat that there will be a section showing the dollar growth required in individual contributions at the appropriate place, 6, with a rewrite of that one sentence, and we will show you the rewrite, 7, uh, 12 and 13. Is there a motion to that effect? Moved and seconded. Any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. We will have a.
I just disagree with 2 and 3 as far as I can see. The rest are fine.
Linda, will you make a note for me? Figure out how we're going to handle this Mr. Dust
right.
dissent, that it will be specifically stated to the point he's
on. Right now, what I want to do, I want to write a minority report which expresses my disagreement with those recommendations with which I disagree.
And which will be directed to sections 2 and 3. I think in terms of, we can discuss later the sequence that that follows. I think probably the best place is at the end of the report, but to be directed to the two sections that you're disagreeing with.
Very
I think just to follow it, to preserve editorial continuity.
Are you in a position to succinctly state the basis for your disagreement?
Am I in a position to right now?
Yeah. I mean, is your feeling, and I'm just curious, you don't have to if you don't want to, but I just...
Oh, yeah, I spelled it all out in a memo at the last meeting.
Okay, well, then I'll read
the memo,
so.
But
I've got
it.
Okay,
I'm glad to do it if you want me
no,
to.
No, we don't need to do it then.
No, I would prefer that we conserve our time and get on to the other sections of the report. Now, and it is my assumption, incidentally, that we will show you those sentences that we are going to change per this meeting, and otherwise everything is intact. Back to page 8. The paragraphs on foundations. Paragraph 1, finding 12, we approve, but there's a major addition. So I would, and I'll read you the additional material, which is basically text and fact. In 1975, they provided 47.2% of all private arts monies to both capital and operating accounts, 51.1% of all private giving to arts organizations. Finding 13 and 14 are new. And recommendation 4 is new. On page 9, individuals is identical. You proved that before.
We
did not discuss it. It was the decision at the last meeting that we were not going to formally vote on any of the private sector, but we do it all at one time today. And recommendation 5 is new. The first paragraph on page 10, finding 16, was there before, but we've not formally approved it. And then recommendations 6 and 7 are new. And I'd like to go that far, ask you to review it, and see if you have any changes, comments, reservations.
We'll start with the opening paragraph that has the same declination problem.
Which foundations are
the first very first sentence.
Well,
that is, I assume, is not going to be part of the. We do intend that as text.
Right.
This form. All right, so we're going to have to editorialize.
Right.
that should conform to our language in the other section.
I think this raises the hazard, or illustrates the hazard, of combining capital and operating, as David Lebedoff commented earlier, that this might be a very good place to illustrate the fact that the capital effort during this study period of 6 years was a series of one-time phenomena, and that should not be extrapolated in the way that we're getting trapped into extrapolating. But you can, you know, statistically, if you take that extrapolation, this is absolutely correct. But you're dealing with two kinds of giving. You're dealing with continued giving, and you're dealing with one-time giving. And it's entirely possible that in 1979 or 80, when another one-time effort takes place, there's going to be a great peak in private giving again. And that, you know, throws off your statistics.
This may be the point also to put in the, since we're talking about, well, you're going to be doing individuals here as well, to show the growth required in individual giving in real dollars simply to maintain the 25% factor.
All private.
All right, maybe that then it would be a good introductory paragraph there in lieu of that section, and to also have a paragraph showing the special nature of the capital giving, because I do agree with Steve Sell. At least when you talk to the principal donors, they regarded the contributions they made over to the major drives as one-shot special efforts when they reached deep in their pockets, and that was a direct quote, for a particular project, and that that did not reflect any commitment on their part to use the same dollars once those pledges were paid off for operating income of that particular arts organization, or indeed for another capital program of a similar nature of that particular arts area, that there are other priorities and so on their dollars, specifically education, service industries and so on, public community service activities and so on. And I think we should have a paragraph alluding to that special nature and the impact of the capital fund rise. All right.
I was going to say maybe in the capital endeavor section, that might be where that kind of a finding, and just ignore this in terms of total dollars giving and just talk about this in terms of operating income.
All right. Now, will you review those pages, see if there are any other changes you wish. We're going now through page 8 through 10 down to finding 17. We're not going into capital endeavors for the moment.
Is my assumption correct that a foundation, for example, the Dayton Hudson Foundation, is in foundations and not corporations?
Yes, and that's sort of an unfortunate thing, I think.
Because it really throws it. I mean, there's so many major foundations that the two maiden ones probably are General Mills and Dayton Hudson. Both would be foundation and not corporation.
Right, and that's the way the trouble is, that if you read the private sector report, I don't know if you got it in the mail this weekend, but the trouble is that when the foundation survey was set up, Minneapolis Council on Foundations, I believe, wanted corporate foundations to be included in the survey. And then I found that I hand tabulate the corporate foundation surveys myself, and in comparing those statistics with the statistics off the primary survey, it appeared that arts organizations included corporate foundations in the foundation category. In the glossary, it was cited that this is on the last page of the 28-page survey. It said in a rather lengthy glossary that business gifts should include corporate foundation gifts, but it was sort of buried in the glossary. And I think I'm talking to arts organizations, it looked as if they put corporate foundations in foundation giving.
Well, all I'm saying is I think this state has unusual corporate support, and I hate to see it get shifted out of really what's corporations into foundations. and it's probably too late to do all the refiguring of it.
It is on the primary survey figures. That's the difficulty. Maybe we should footnote this. In the report, on the private sector report, at one point I marked a caveat and had a special section, if you pull out the corporate foundation report, giving, and added that to corporate giving trails only behind foundations, with individuals being the third givers.
I think you should do that, because that is clearly a reflection of of what happens.
Right.
And the way the organizations themselves, corporations, regard their monies as corporate monies, not an independent foundation's monies.
Well,
and the arts organizations themselves regard that as a corporate contribution from General Mills, not a foundation contribution from a separate foundation.
But I think they did, Steve.
They did it
count
just
as a foundation.
They did.
Yeah, they did. That's the trouble.
Yeah.
Well, they do it for technical reasons.
From the primary survey information, I can't break it out. I can make the footnote in the findings here, and then it'll be clarified in the private sector report. But because it's an unfortunate thing and it's irritating, but after doing analysis of the primary survey with it.
It's an example of how difficult it's been to assemble the data, because
maybe what you
our conventions and
on page 8 is just footnoted after foundations.
I think so,
right,
including
in
corporate foundations.
Yeah, maybe,
I think that'd be a way to handle it.
Yeah.
Would it be possible to quantify this to some extent by saying it is estimated that, adjusting for corporate foundations, the total corporate giving amounts to blank?
I can do that too, because I did a separate table
in from the private sector.
Right, in the private sector I did that, because I was I will do that.
I have just a couple of changes. On finding 14, the word bulk disturbs me. I think there's a more accurate way of referring to it. Small group of foundations provides
most
of foundation giving.
Steve?
Yeah.
I'm backing up one under finding 13, in that first sentence. You know, there's some pretty good reasons why that happens, and maybe it's obvious to everybody that the larger foundations that have staff are able to investigate smaller organizations and therefore justify gifts to them, perhaps, or other foundations require audited financial statements. I mean, there are reasons why this happens, and I don't know whether there's any reason to indicate why, but it sort of sounds as if somebody's got a lock on the big givers, and that isn't really
well. We added the bottom part of that, and maybe we should make it even more clear that there is one of the reasons is there's a causal relationship. The small group of organizations who are recipients also constitute the great bulk of arts activity. Those 25 organizations receive all 91% of operating income. That's all income in the entire system. That's the 25 largest constitute what percentage is of all arts activity?
70. That's the Twin Cities organization.
It's probably the same.
Very close. I think it's about 91%. So that there is a correlation. They slightly overgive, if you want to address it in those terms. And that's what the second sentence intended to try and clarify.
On the other hand, I'd like to add that according to the foundation survey, it looks like six foundations give, I think it is 70% of all foundation money. So even the large foundations with the staff are tending to concentrate their giving.
Well, sure, that's
among
other,
a few.
But that's the
right.
Other, that's the next paragraph. This
right.
Paragraph.
isn't this?
I guess I would say I would. David's suggestion is that it still is. It tends to, even though we added that sentence, not be as clear as it should be. We should revise the sentence to read: foundations tend to concentrate their giving among the 25 largest arts organizations, foundations gave 97.2% of their monies to these 25 largest, and these 25 largest constituted 91% of all income and expenditures in the arts industry.
That sounds better to me than a small group of recipients.
But isn't this, I assume that that 97.2 included capital grants, didn't it?
No, this is just operating money. And I was going to say that should be inserted in there.
That should be made clear.
Operating money, right.
Okay.
In fact, I'll rewrite this entire section so the heading is private sector support. I think of nonprofit arts organizations operations.
Operating.
Yeah. Just take out all those other things. Yeah.
All right. Are there any other changes?
Although that first, yeah, that first sentence may have to be changed.
I'll change that to 51%. Just go with that figure.
On recommendation four, but arts support realizes that because of extraneous factors, it's not just changes in tax laws, and I think I'd be a little more clear. It's endowment yields, for example, and changes in foundation priorities.
Well, the effect of foundations, the tax laws have had a
highly significant,
very significant effect on foundations.
That's the Minneapolis Council on Foundations, what, and a couple of foundation reports, what they cite as the main cause for changes in foundation giving.
Rather than anything else, so
right,
should we
in
just
fact,
leave
arts
it?
Arts giving is going up nationally from...
All right, well then if that's the case, that's
I
fine.
I think it really is the tax laws.
Yes, okay. I think so.
No.
All right. I then have a suggestion, the second paragraph. Commission recommends the foundations provide challenge grants to nonprofit arts organizations, not in order that they may add new individual corporate members, but something to the effect that in order to help stimulate
to promote
or to promote the development. Page 10, recommendation 6, I just have a dislike of split infinitives.
Oh, my goodness.
I don't intend to be an English major about this.
And like it's a legitimate splitting of the infinitive there.
Infinitives may now be legitimately split?
Yes, they may be.
For this is finding 10. Right, recommendation 6, I'm sorry, page 10. Mr. Duff, in the newspaper editor.
I'm with you. I've
always been taught never to split an infinitive.
I never write them myself, but they're always appearing in our newspaper.
The thing is that you do want to avoid them whenever possible because people will assume that you don't know that it's legitimate to split them. Right. I call a man on the phone and you said, go ahead.
I just, given our previous discussions, Linda, in finding 16, when we say six corporations gave 63% of the corporate arts monies, now are we including in those ones that we really are counting in foundations elsewhere?
No, this is just strict. Well, and this is in the private sector report. I think 7 of the corporations who gave on the corporate survey also gave through corporate foundations. However, the bulk of the monies went through the foundation. There are 25 corporations which are corporate foundations. But then 19 give almost nothing to the company. They give strictly through the corporate foundation. So this is strictly corporate monies. And this does not include General Mills or Pillsbury or any of the big Dayton Hudson.
Well, again, that's, I think one way or another we've got to straighten it out because I think when most people are reading this and you say six corporations gave 63% of the corporate arts money, I think most people are going to assume that those six are Dayton Hudson,
right.
General Mills, and it's just a matter
right.
of clarification.
I think you're
right there. This is the place where Mr. Bean's recommendation, if he wants to make it. All right. Money to be used to encourage more private sector.
Either there or I'll look at the place or the public sector.
Yeah, I would put it in there. Well, we're talking about private sector.
We're trying to get stimulated.
Yeah, I think it belongs in private sector.
His suggestion was to the state arts board that they use.
But we're talking about ways of stimulating all kinds of.
Right, and we have recommendations going to nonprofits in this private sector.
that it should go there, I think.
Jimmy's question is whether this isn't the point to put Mr. Bean's recommendation to the State Arts Board as well as to the corporations to stimulate the private sector giving.
Yeah. I don't want to pick on corporations. That's, I mean, no. The same thing applies to foundations and individual givers.
Well, maybe it should be the first recommendation then.
Are you, you're not talking about direct grants to arts organizations for the development of support? Is that what you're talking about? Are you talking about, how are you, give me an example of what you're talking about in your recommendation. Are you talking about, support to an arts organization to develop the development office, for example, or to develop fundraising capability, or what? I'm talking, Mr. Bean, in your recommendation, we're talking about.
Your recommendation to the State Arts Board.
In terms of, you mean of my suggestion to the State Arts Board, anything that will help the organization. And the development office, is a, if that's a cardinal part of something that they need in order to increase, A, their flow of funds, and B, their utility to the community, then I'd say sure.
Well, we talked about, are you saying something?
It's really primarily, I would assume, so that the reader doesn't assume that the private sector is getting off the hook.
That's right.
That's right.
Yeah. This is my reason for putting it in.
Something like one quarter would be matched by new funds.
I was just
one example of what he's getting at is matching funds something of that nature that the tax money would go to an institution on the basis of percentage of what that institution raised.
Right.
And I think, by the way, that approach, I think, solves a lot of your complaint. Is that then the local group determine where the tax money is going to go by giving to that local group, and if you have a matching fund process of the state funds going to the various arts.
Considering the problem in the private sector, I think what we ought to say is new sources and make it like one quarter or something like that, rather than just simple matching. Because the state, even if we're matching, the State Arts Board appropriation could easily be matched by the private sector contribution, which is 25% of total income. So what we're talking about really is new sources rather than...
Well, we are...
You just want challenge grants?
I don't think it's our function to define what the State Arts Board grant procedure ought to be. The concept here is a recommendation to the State Arts Board to adopt policies to stimulate private sector giving. Now, the implicit in that is you don't make a grant to take one at my back, the Minnesota Orchestra, of $100,000 because it already has $500,000 in annual giving. That doesn't stimulate annual giving. But I don't think we have to get into the fine tuning of the grant procedure. I think that what we're talking about is a basic recommendation. A policy should be the State Arts Board to encourage, adopt policies to encourage or stimulate private sector giving, and that's in the context of the broadening the base that we've been talking about. Steve,
I think the best placement for that might be on page 15 as a part of recommendation 11.
I would agree.
Just another.
Because you're really telling how the public, telling the public, asking the public sector how they should give it, and that really goes to qualification.
Yeah.
Yes, okay.
Yeah. Linda, I have a problem with the way this whole finding 16 is worded. It's really a report on two different surveys, and that's about all it is. And I, the way I read it, it looks like six corporations give 63% and 55 give 7% and all the rest give 30% or something like that. I have some trouble generated primarily, I think, by the last sentence. Six corporations give 63% of the corporate monies on one survey or 44% on another survey.
Well, I think the reasoning is in the sentence before where it says that the corporate survey shows that 61 account for 70% of the total corporate arts money reported by the nonprofit arts organizations in the primary survey. To establish this more than, what I want to do is establish it's more than 61 who are giving corporate monies. And maybe we can just delete that whole
Well, you're supposed to revise it with reference to corporate foundations anyhow.
Right, I'm gonna do that, right.
Why don't we accept, a reworking of that paragraph to clarify it? I think it, in attempting to be statistically pure, the statistics tend to overwhelm sometimes.
We can just stop that 63% of the money's reported on the corporate survey. I think that'd be the place to stop because it's explained in the private sector report.
Well, if 6%, six corporations gave 63%, that's a highly significant concentration. I'd like that further shows the high degree of concentration of giving, and I'd like to emphasize that if in fact it's true. So I'd leave some of that, but let her.
Steve, that's again without corporate foundations.
Yeah, that's taking the big ones out.
Misleading as heck.
But of course, it doesn't have the totals with the corporate foundations, and it's just straight business giving. It's a pain in the neck. I agree. I'm here,
We know the major corporate foundations. We should be able to find out what that does to the total dollars. And if there are nine instead of six that give 73%, we should be able to rationalize that figure and have it accurate and then have it in here. I think we should. I wouldn't ignore the fact that there's this degree of concentration. That's one of our most important findings.
You footnotes including three corporate foundations, nine total, then put in a footnote including.
Although
it'd
be a larger percentage of money, it might be nine gives still 63, depending on what
all
the
right.
corporate foundations
yes.
are.
Yes. All right. And then the suggestion is that we put the section on of suggestion policy to the State Arts Board regarding the stimulating giving goes into Recommendation 11 rather than in the area of Recommendation 7. All right. Are there any other changes or recommendations on pages 8, 9, and 10 down to D on pages 10? Yes, Anne.
Suggested word change in Recommendation 6, second paragraph. Business corporations should assume some burden in stimulating. Is there a more positive word that could be used there?
Some role,
I was going to say some of the responsibility.
Right. It may be a burden.
I like responsibility as opposed to burden.
I like the word burden.
All right. Now the changes that we're mandating in the text you have is to rewrite the first paragraph C on page 8. We're going to revise the sentence, the two sentences of finding 13. We are clarifying the corporate foundation relationship in paragraph 3, finding 16. And there are a couple of word changes, responsibility instead of burden, and most instead of bulk. With those changes, do we have a motion approving findings 12 through 16 and recommendations four, five through 7.
May I just add a footnote? I think that in view of our other discussion that not merely the so-called paragraph number 1, but also the introductory paragraph need rewriting.
Right, that was
yes, that's what I was
done,
referring
right.
to.
Yeah, I wasn't sure which yeah. they took it on yes. first paragraph was.
So moved.
All right. Moved. Is there a second?
Yes.
Moved and seconded. Any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Mr. Duff, I'm assuming that I know the two sections that you dissented on and everything else, unless I hear, you're in agreement with.
Yeah.
I'm assuming that's the case with the rest of the commission. Identify yourselves if you have any objections to this so that we can make a note for the report. Otherwise, it's going forward as in the minutes as unanimously approved. All right, next section. I wonder whether we should go on. What? endowment, there's which one?
Capital Endeavors.
Capital Endeavors? All right. Face up to Section D, Finding 17, Capital Endeavors.
Let's discuss it, vote on it up or down.
Plus, that has with it a companion piece labeled, called Recommendation 8, Version 1, 2, and 3.
Might get some history of it for those that were here at the first meeting when it was approved. And then
Andy, will you do the others?
Tom made a motion to make it.
Maybe I should give I'll take on the burden for these two commissioners. The question on capital endeavors comes from the fact that we identified the major problem for the private sector generally of being able to continue to keep 25% as a dynamic percentage of the growth of the system generally, as private sector responsibility would require substantial new dollars every year. The second fact was that the private sector over the period in question, including both capital and the capital fund drives and operating fund contributions during the period studied, 69 through 75, had grown was growing by an inflation factor, but not inflation plus real growth of the system. It will take inflation plus real growth of the system to stay at 25% in the future. And that represents a change in giving, an increase in giving, just to meet that rate. And barring new sources of income would mean that during the period in question, I think through 1980, there are resources available to pay in current endowment fund drives, but any new endowment fund drives would appear of any of substantial magnitude, such as the size of those that have gone on in the past, would appear to be cutting into the percentage needed just for ordinary operational expenditures. That led to the suggestion that there be some sort of rationalization on a statewide basis of new capital fund drives, particularly in the instance of organizations which were or intended to be in the near future receiving substantial portion of their monies from the public sector, and therefore in that fashion, and to the extent that they were requiring more monies from the public sector, once facilities in particular were constructed, that the public sector should have some say in the, before a decision was made to construct those facilities and therefore end up on the public's payroll. That led to the first version, which said that any new capital fund drive first go through some sort of public review process administered by the State Arts Board. There was substantial discussion on that, and including the point that this would place a tremendous burden on the State Arts Board to have to decide and approve capital fund programs. The question was also raised by a number of commissioners that going through this type of process could very well chill the initiative that produced new and at that time highly unorthodox ideas, which have proven successful in hindsight, but would have been very difficult to convince the public at the time, specifically the creation of the Guthrie Theater and the construction of Orchestra Hall. I think those were the two examples that commissioners called, at least to my attention, if not to the mention of the full commission. That produced the second version, which was a more watered down attempt, and said that the State Arts Board should have a review process and could comment upon capital programs undertaken by organizations, and if it felt that a particular capital fund program would fall within the area of state priorities, within the state plan, and so on, that it be enabled, it be empowered to research ways in which the state could assist in grants in the success of that program, assuming that program had first met the test and was clearly a high state priority, etc. Ways in which the state could assist would be matching grants for endowment purposes if the private organization, or capital purposes, the private organization raised, for example, on a 2-to-1 basis, $2 million towards a $5 million drive or a $3 million drive, that the state could be in a position to pay maybe on a 2-to-1 basis, up to a certain amount. That, in turn, of a number of people, that the history of state funding in the area of the arts has evolved from a very low, small amount of dollar commitment on a strict program grant basis, buying services, in essence, to a program of limited operational operational support or assistance. And clearly one of the major thrusts of the commission report was the significant extension of a public support in the area of assistance as opposed to strict program support buying services. And this recommendation, namely not the stick but a large carrot in terms of what the State Arts Board could do if an organization voluntarily submitted itself to its jurisdiction for a review process, would be in some fashion committing the state, and we would be recommending the state to get involved in the capital funding program process, which heretofore it has not, and that while that ultimately may be a good thing, long range, 10, 15 years from now, it may be more than the public is prepared at this stage to accept, or that we should be recommending at this stage. And that recommending that big extension of public activity may in effect cut down our effectiveness in recommending the other area where we're much more confident that A, the case has been built for, and B, that the public is willing to accept it if we were to recommend it. I have attempted to summarize extended discussion back and forth on this, and I apologize if I've left out some major points. That, at any rate, was the objection to recommendation number, diversion number two. And the mandate of the commission at its last meeting was the staff should come up with another idea. And that idea, in essence, was some sort of purely voluntary, internal to the organization themselves and the giving community, self-assessment procedure. The version that you have in front of you is an attempt to reach that approach. And I will add, I think since I indicated the negatives to some sort of public assessment before, I should add the positives to it. There is significant support for some sort of concept of this type within the giving community, foundations and corporations in particular, that there be some sort of review process. I think there's sentiment there that it be a public review process. I think we can see, and I don't propose to bring up and rehash again the hazards of that process and limitations that it can pose. But I would add that we've received a lot of comments on the advisability of some sort of review process. This is an attempt to make it a purely private sector endeavor, but would, if were adopted, have as a component in a fund drive, whether it were for facilities or endowment, but clearly in particular for facilities, that the organization itself put together the basic elements of the review process and a statement of need and the qualifications to give assurance to contributors that the problems which we've identified would be satisfied with and resolved within that decision-making process. The teeth, if you will, would be purely in the private sector in terms of foundations and corporations, individuals making large gifts who chose to avail himself on the standards that this commission report sets forth in terms of evaluating what that particular organization or group has suggested as its self-assessment as to the need as a basis for contributions. Anyway, I think those are the three versions, and that was what was attempted with version number three.
Steve, do this. Are those commissioners who are much more familiar with the state legislature than I, do they honestly believe that there's going to be public support, tax support for these organizations, and not some control given on this sort of thing? I mean, built into it?
Support to capital fund grants without control?
Well, I just, it seems inconceivable to me that the legislature would vote to give money to operating arts organizations and not have some kind of control over what's built out there.
I don't agree with that at all, John.
Well, fine. I think that
when an organization builds, it has to justify itself to the people from whom it is asking money. That's one thing. The second thing, once it's got something built, then it has to justify the programs that it's going to put on in there. And in terms of the State Arts Board or the legislature, I think you do have to justify those programs to them. That's program money. That's not capital money. And now, if we are going to recommend that the state offer capital funds, which I would think we should not do, then there certainly ought to be a justification of each individual case. But that's a very different matter from saying that the State Arts Board is going to establish the priorities for the state of Minnesota and each individual community as to what it should be doing over the next 5 years. I think that's completely wrong, and it would really stifle the kind of initiative which has been very present, at least in the metropolitan area, and I'm sure it has in many other places.
But the size of the buildings, to a large extent, determines the cost of the program, doesn't it?
Sure, but that's the responsibility of the people who are involved in it.
I think the point is that, let's say there was not the new Minneapolis Institute of Art, and that the Society of Fine Arts decided today to build it, and let's say we had state funding, then one of the things that the Board of Trustees would have to decide at the Society is, if we build something this big with its increased operating costs, will we get enough public monies to be able to conduct our programs? And if that seemed, the legislature wouldn't have to say anything, the planners would think about it if they were in the habit of getting public funds. May I say something about that? I don't think we should get into the details of these proposals. Change the word and argue about this or that until we decide which one we're going for. So let me just say that without having studied them very carefully, the third alternative seems the most attractive to me, for the reason that the first two talk about the possibility of the state assisting in capital fund drives, and I understand that that's assistance in the most limited sense. Nonetheless, I think that there's a possibility that that would be misunderstood by legislators. I think that that could be interpreted as a foot in the door for future state aid to capital fund drives, and I think that would hurt our chances of getting the public funding passed. Second, I think that it's one of the great accomplishments that the private sector can point to in asking for public money is that the private sector built all these splendid new buildings that we're all so proud of. And it's almost throwing away that achievement to be talking so much about public help for funding drives. Most of the major capital funding drives that I can foresee are over. And to throw away the emphasis on the fact that was an almost entirely private accomplishment seems to me foolish, with nothing to be gained in return. So I would think Plan 3 looks very good. It leaves it in a private way, but it suggests guidelines.
I would also think
the very fact that we've had this discussion and that we are talking, and let's assume for argument's sake that there will be some type of increased public funding, is inevitably going to impact far more on the decision making of private organizations and their calculation as to their success or failure of the drive itself, even if we were to do nothing further. Any organization which is going to be receiving more and more public monies from it obviously is going to have to evaluate the impact and its ability to get just those funds, let alone any increase in funds, which would be the result of a fallout of a capital fund program, whether it's for endowment or more likely for facilities, that is not going to meet with public enthusiasm. I think that's inevitable in the system, even if there is no authority in the State Arts Board or anybody else to formally consider that process. And I say that having been an advocate of recommendation number one, which was successfully watered down to two and now to three, I have to concede that I think that is inevitably a part of the process from now on, and we're simply reflecting that. I think we can clarify it, indicate the elements of it, and help clear the air by at least recommendation three. But, Anne.
I'd like to make a suggestion about the emphasis of version three. The important finding, seems to me, is that it is becoming increasingly clear that in the minds of those who are making decisions in the private sector, that they are going to be expecting this kind of review process to take place. So that what we're really recommending is that organizations be aware of that trend and address themselves to that. Since the reason the private sector is beginning to get nervous about this or address it has to do, A, with the impact of possible public support and also the increases in all kinds of costs. So maybe if we start from the viewpoint of, look, here's something that's a real possibility, so you should be aware of it and be ready for it.
Steve.
I'd like to pick up on what Ann said, and that is that this really is an issue that was raised by the private sector. The fact of the matter is that some of the private sector people are embarrassed that they've been had, or they think they've been had, by a couple of efforts which were admirable in their in theory and rather disastrous in fact when it came to operating the monuments that had been created.
Let's be specific, Steve. Come on. Let's be specific.
Well, the efforts of the last couple of years, the society complex and the orchestra.
No, but we've balanced our budget this year.
It's true, but the fact of the matter is that the private sector givers are saying, had we contemplated the operating implications of these capital commitments, we would have probably been more cautious. And what they told the commission...
I don't think they would have at all.
Well...
Because they were presented with projections of operating costs, which unfortunately were vitiated by the results of the Vietnam War and so forth and so on. And we built into our projections as careful projection things as we could. Now, these were done in 1965 and 66, 67, and things happened. But I don't think, for instance, first of all, I think that some of these people who are saying we want state review are just asking, they're trying to push the responsibility for review off on somebody else.
Well, that's the point that I'm leaving.
And I think they won't let you do it after you've done it, probably, unless if the State Arts Board really assumes this, it is unquestionably taking on the responsibility of clearly controlling the artistic priorities of the entire state. Now, that's something that you may want, but I'm not willing to give you.
As a matter of fact, that's where I'm leading to. I think what we end up here with is if you don't achieve recommendation number one or numbers one or two, which are the situation you just described, which I'm totally opposed to, I think recommendation number three or version number three is so watered down that it really is meaningless. The point is that the private sector givers said we want to be protected against ourselves.
Yeah.
And I don't see that that's part of the role of this commission. The private sector has to make its own decisions based on the information available to it. Most of the foundations with a lot of money have professional staffs. I don't know the value of this endeavor.
If any of you have ever made presentations to Bush or Hill or Dayton Hudson or Control Data or whosoever, if you haven't had to have written documentation of the organizational needs and so forth, I'd like to know what they think we've presented.
Steve, I spoke in favor of Alternative 3 because I thought it was the better version. If Steve Saw is suggesting that another alternative be none of the above, I'd be happy to support that too. I don't see that version 3 does any harm. It shows at least that indicates to legislators that they're going to be we're asking people to be careful in the future. I don't see anything lost if we pass nothing.
I think in my own mind that one of the responsibilities we have is to try and find the thin line, not only today, but looking out at least a few years, which represents the continual interfacing between the private sector and the public sector. And I don't think it's enough anymore to say that this is entirely 100% a free market economy and every decision is going to be decided entirely in that marketplace with absolutely no other impact whatsoever. Or to say, on the other hand, that we've moved into a regulated society and a regulated community and everything has to go through a public planning and review process and the analysis that an administrative body, whatever it is, whoever it is, must make a decision for the economy, for the arts economy. We're talking about a significant increase in public involvement. And I think there is a quid pro quo. I agree with Mr. Driscoll. I don't see how, in fairness, we can say to the public sector that you are invited to participate in an ever greater degree with absolutely no certainty that anything's going to happen any differently than it's had in the past, which is not to say that things that happened in the past are wrong, were wrong decisions, were an imperfect working of the system, or whatever. It is simply to say that there are more standards to be applied. And I think one of those standards is some degree of assurance that there is a careful planning process, not only from the narrow aspect of a particular organization's particular project, but at least within that organization that they have considered and can make a case for its impact not just on themselves, but on the rest of the industry that they're a part. And that is what the essence of this review process is. There are several caveats in it regarding the organization itself, its impact on its own income, its impact on its ability to fund the operations of a new facility, if that's what's contemplated, and its ability to have a certain amount of the funds in hand before it commits to the project. Other parts, and I think the most important parts, I think those are important parts, other parts are the impact of that particular drive on the rest of the industry, other arts organizations, other fund drives, and a public statement is to that effect. And I think if we provide that much in this language here, it will be a formula that major givers can look to. We're not attempting to refine it in detail and say anything more again than general principles, but I think this much is appropriate. And I am uncomfortable with veering too far from an even-handed look at all elements of the arts sector, both public and private, all levels of public, all levels of private, and the organizations themselves, which has been the way we've tried to run the commission so far. And I think there is a point where something is needed to be said in this area. It's come from the foundations and corporations themselves, which are givers, as much as from the arts organizations. I think this is healthy. I've been a part of presentations to foundations. Also, some of these elements have been covered, but many of them in detail have not been a part of the formal presentation. And it varies considerably from organization to organization to what is required. I think this is basically healthy, not that painful, and easily justifiable in terms of what is happening from now on.
Steve, I don't mind voting for it under those circumstances, but I'd like at least the minutes to show that at least one member, me, feels that these criteria have been followed by the institutions that have built in recent years. I don't think this is new. Now, if you think that it's possible that that the general public might not be aware of that, and this helps focus our responsibility, that's fine. But I wouldn't want the suggestion, I wouldn't want it inferred from our passage of this that these things hadn't gone on before, so I'd just like to get that in the...
No, I have no objection to the language stating that this is a reflection, at least in part, of what has been a part of at least a number of fund drives, and we're simply recommending it on a more uniform basis. My reason for saying that is I agree with you, it has certainly been a part at least of a couple of the major drives. I can say with equal certainty it has not been a part of certain other drives in the past and in currently going on.
Well, let me make two comments. I'm first, just the way we have it in terms of pure length, it comes out to be the longest recommendation, or version 3 would be, and I don't know whether, in effect, that means that we're highlighting as a problem, perhaps a greater one than it should be. Secondly, no matter which way you come out on this issue as to this report, there are an awful lot of practical safeguards in the system, which I think that Steve would see or any foundation would see, because if somebody has done something in a capital drive they shouldn't have been, it's one of the best ways to lose support when you go around to ask for it in the future. And I think it's correct that we raise the issue, because if we're doing a complete job, we raise the issue. I don't know whether it's the job of the commission to recommend the several steps that must be followed. Now, again, and I think, you know, backing into it, because of all the revisions and trying to solve the problems of several factions on the commission, it tends to be rather lengthy. Now, maybe there's no way to avoid that. Again, given the alternatives and all the discussion, I would almost in many ways rather go with David's none of the above, but put it in a commentary or a footnote or also discussed but not recommended category, if you see what I mean.
The length doesn't bother me, Tom. I think that the length and the specificity of it could indeed help rather than hinder organizations. I think that while the fund drives that maybe some of us have been involved with, the capital fund drives, we've done this and it has been done. But I'm thinking it in terms of people perhaps who have not been involved in these types of drives that want to start a project outstate, perhaps, where this would be very helpful to them.
Well, if all you're going to say to people, please be prudent, I have no objection to that.
I think that's basically what this says. It says, please
no,
be prudent,
it isn't.
And here are
no,
the things
it isn't.
That
Let you, me be specific.
Here are the things that you should do.
Here you're supposed to set forth in number one, these needs must be stated both in the context of the ordinary organization's goals and objectives, which are absolutely unobjectionable, and in terms of the community's needs for service of the organization as set forth in the state arts plan. So Steve is going to set the structure within which we're going to be allowed to do something. Next. A written financial plan, which can, includes consideration of the impact that such a facility might have on the capital dollars available to all the arts in Minnesota. Absolutely impossible of decision. There's no point even talking about that kind of an analysis.
I might change the word Minnesota.
The next community statement, that it should take into account the impact of the drive on annual giving, well, that's common sense. I have no objection to that.
We can change the word Minnesota to the community.
Just let me go on through.
commitment on the part of the organization not to proceed with construction until it is certain that the fund drive will be a success, or that it will raise the necessary dollars for completion. Now, believe me, in a day of accelerating inflation, are you going to say that, first of all, at what point are you certain? I'd love to have somebody tell me how to be that certain. I've been involved in these drives for longer than most of you are old. I don't know that. That's impossible of ascertainment. The commission recommends that construction not begin until 75% of the total cost has been pledged. Really? Are we willing to make that kind of a recommendation and stand behind it? Of course, if you're certain, as which is prescribed in the previous one, then you only have to wait till you've got the thing started. Well, the next part, a careful assessment of the operating expenditure necessary to support, that's fine. And I'd say, but all the things that I accept, all they are saying, be prudent before you get launched on something like this.
What's wrong with saying it?
Well, that's all right. I'm perfectly willing to say that, but I'm not willing to have Steve establishing State Arts Board establishing it, the priorities that we'll have. Nor do I think anybody can determine whether you can raise X dollars in Minnesota.
I think that some of the language here can be revised, but just in terms of concept, I think it's a concept that should be a part of the recommendation of this commission.
Well, I say, if we're coming back, Andy, just to saying, well, nobody should start a capital funds campaign unless they've made an adequate study of all its various aspects, I have no objection.
My only concern with that is, as long as you leave it in that very general terms of you know, apple pie and motherhood, it's perfectly harmless, innocent, and straightforward. But it allows anybody also to come forward with a two-paragraph statement that this is a statement of need and needs assessment and ability to do it, and therefore we are justified in making application for and receiving funding.
From whom? The private sector or the public sector?
Either or both.
Well, now, in either, first of all, in the public sector, I'm sure that they ought to require justification if they're going to do that. In terms of the private sector, I can absolutely guarantee you that they'll require justification.
See?
It's automatic.
I have to support Atherton's point of view here. I think what you've done is mixed some apples and oranges and come out with a peach pie, because there are certain things in here which are very specific. Yet they're not specific enough. They're very ambiguous. For example, the state arts plan. That is a totally undefined term. And the quality of the state arts plan and the specificity of the state arts plan is what the credibility of the plans made by the organizations who are going to go on a capital drive are going to be measured against. We haven't begun to deal with the content of that state arts plan as it relates either to endowments, facilities, or services. Maybe services over the long run. But I think you're going to be asking these organizations voluntarily, but as we discussed last time, voluntarily becomes mandated very quickly in the psychology of this thing. You're going to be asking them to be measured against something which hasn't been dealt with in this report, except in the most general of terms. There's a recommendation that the State Arts Board develop one. The State Arts Plan is referred to later, I think, in terms of facility, at the very bottom of this page. I'm not certain that we're even close to including facility needs in a State Arts Plan concept as yet. We haven't begun to contemplate that. I have to support Atherton's point of view on the assessment of the capital dollars available to all the arts in Minnesota. That is a potentially infinite resource. We have only the trend study to tell us that it's not infinite, but potentially it is infinite. So we've got things. Yes, it's general. It states an appropriate intent,
But there is enough specific in here which is ambiguous in itself to create confusion.
I think our original dialogue started here when we were speaking about new construction and new capital investment coming in, drives coming in. When the private sector ceased with their drive and that particular institution could not support itself, therefore it would have to rely on public money. And you cannot request or require or beg or threaten for public monies unless you have a good justification for it. This was our major concern at that time, wasn't it? So there was apples and oranges. If the private corporations and private givers muster enough money to build a beautiful edifice and are able to support it on their private giving, etc., that the state then does not have to step in and say, okay, so the building is here, what do we do with it now? We have to give. I think that people outstate would resent it in a way, because they'll have to put something that they haven't had a word to say about. For that reason, that people in Minneapolis might object to some of the things that have been done here in the Institute of Art, for instance. Now that they had to curtail what is it, 2 days out of a week, the institute is closed because there is no funding.
Not anymore.
Well, you see now, if you go back and forth, no, that's what I...
But we did not come to the state of Minnesota and say, we can't handle this thing. We want you to pick it up. We have handled it. And that's where I think the responsibility ought to be.
Right. I'm all for it. I think once you start asking the state to support you in this particular endeavor, then you have to be accountable for it to that last thing. And this was our original premise. That's a very good point.
David?
I could address myself to a lot of the language in here, but I suppose we should agree as to which concept we're going to adopt before we get into the language. Rather than arguing, for instance, I also object to the having to meet the community need as defined in the state arts plan. I think that was a mistake. I think that the state arts plan was, it hasn't been formulated. I'm sure it will be very well formulated when that comes to happen, but I think with regard to public operational monies and a state plan devised for public operational monies doesn't necessarily have any relevance to a capital fund drive. And I don't think that the people charged with coming up with a state arts plan ever had any notion that this would be a requirement for capital fund giving. But in any event, rather than get into that or some of the other details, I think we should decide whether we want to go with any one of these alternatives or not, or whatever.
I think that Mrs. Alstrom has put her finger on a very important point. We have, I think, crossed the line a bit, I think as a result of one other factor, and that was our concern over the shortage of dollars in the system, in the private sector system. And that was the reason we started getting more into the discussion of the needs review process, even as it impacted entirely within the private sector. Perhaps the proper way of addressing this is to make the statement that so long as a fundraising process is entirely internal within the private sector, with no impact intended on public sector dollars, public sector dollars being operational support for an organization, we would hope that there would be continue to be, as has happened in the case of certain individual fund drives, a self-assessment covering a number of the points set forth below. And in the case of any organization
which ultimately is going to be seeking any type of increased public support as a consequence of a new facilities drive, review process involved the public sector as well, with these points being covered. David, you're shaking your head.
I wish Ann would restate what she said before. Steve started out on that point and really hasn't pursued it. I think we're talking to the private sector as much as we're talking to the public sector. And I have to strongly support this recommendation, eliminating the reference to the state arts plan and to the capacity of the Minnesota system and all that sort. I think that'll come along in a couple, 3 years when there actually is a plan and there's an information base. I think all that will happen, so we can get rid of that now. But I think we ought to say that there ought to be imposed an obligation on anyone who's contemplating major construction or major endowment, an obligation to put together written documentation of organizational needs, stated only both in the organizational context and in the community context. Now, if there's anything wrong with that, the Institute did it, the orchestra did it, everybody does it. And if they want to go to Steve Sell and get some help in formulating that, they'll do it. The written financial plan for the fund campaign, the impact that the fund drive, the capital drive, will have on the operating drive for that organization. I'm sure that is somehow predictable. Number three, I'm not expert enough to know whether you got to have 75% in hand or 50%, but there ought to be something there. And two, both Gene Warlick and Bill Opsahl, who called me, who couldn't be here, support a statement like this at some majority or some figure, saying you got to have some kind of a commitment in hand before you move out. Then number four is a careful assessment of operating expenditures created by the new facility. Five and six are just other types of suggestions. One is, please look at shared facilities, remodel facilities, that sort of thing before you start a new construction. And number six, I think we felt was an important thing to say to government. We may have gone past the point in this state, at least in the metropolitan area, where government's going to build any of these facilities, but in the non-metropolitan areas, it may well be.
That you have just expressed the finding, and I'm not sure that we're justified in going beyond that finding and saying, so because we've discovered this is what we should expect to go on. What we've discovered is that there's this concern, and what we're recommending is that people be aware of that concern and be prepared to have to face demands. But I don't think we're justified in drawing these particular conclusions from that concern necessarily.
But these are their concerns.
Yeah.
The impact going to be on
giving
and all that sort of
thing?
But I think
we're being dictated to by them rather than having really done this through any sort of valid research process. I mean, I don't know if they were all, these were their priorities when somebody talked to them.
I think we can identify elements. We don't have to get too specific in terms of what it is, but I think we should at least because we've been specific in other areas, in terms of basic elements, what we're talking about, such as the state plan, which we have yet to come to, that we should recognize the elements, and I think we can do a lot of pruning or clarification on this.
Isn't the problem, once you've done the elements, and if we go into David's procedure, you in effect have a filing requirement. You just file someplace and says, this is what we're going to do, this is how we perceive the need.
I don't think this is a filing process.
No, but my point is, there's really no or else.
That's right, there is no or else.
There's no or else, so that while it really doesn't have any teeth into it, and I'm not really arguing that it should have teeth, but it provides the information for anybody that knows what organization XYZ wants to do, so long as XYZ has answered these questions, and they can go to a central filing spot and see what's been done, and that's about it.
It'll be an aid to donors.
Right.
Donors will request it.
Yeah.
And it'll force the organizations to do it.
But
I
And I don't know if that's, I mean, that's the point, is that we're really the end result does not really solve the state's problem to the extent the public sector really has a problem, because that, you know, that's available right now in the private sector for the most part. The Minneapolis Foundation keeps tabs on all of these that are, and you can find that out.
Sandy.
All over the state.
I don't know whether it's appropriate for me to speak, but I, since
Sandy
I
Hale
don't
is
always,
the chairperson of the State Arts Board.
Since Steve and I don't always speak with the same voice or the same approach, I might just add, though, second what he said, I think the State Arts Board would be very concerned about any increased power, any power in this area. Number six concerns me also as a result of that. I think the importance of what David and some of the others have talked about is emphasizing the concerns that the public have had in some of these areas. Whether or not you come up with a very sort of apple pie recommendation, it does have some value. But six concerns me still in how much power would be given to the State Arts Board. I don't think we really want that at all in this area.
Steve, maybe you could find out how many people would agree with just the first sentence on the version 3 of recommendation 8, because I suspect everybody would agree to that extent.
I was about to make a motion to be.
In other words,
if you go that far,
and then perhaps someplace else in the report, you know.
First sentence of the recommendation of the third version?
Yeah.
Third version.
Perhaps someplace else in the report you might put factors to be considered. You know, that might get everybody off the hook.
Well, I did like to ask the question how you carry out that, what the first sentence is.
Well, but even if you go through all, that's my earlier point, even if you go through all the present 6 points, there's no carrying out. I mean, there's really nowhere else. I guess, unfortunately, as a lawyer,
the first sentence just says be prudent.
Yeah,
that's really
right.
All it says.
I'd point out that if you wanted to talk about other factors, and I don't think you should, you could, on paragraphs 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, take the first sentence of each of those paragraphs and make them a good deal less offensive.
Do you want to, Andy, try your hand on the editing of this down to the bare points?
Could I, if one of you crossing out and see if these would be objectionable? Sentence 1 remain the same. Sentence 2 just leave everything in except as set forth in the state arts plan. Number 2, make a sentence out of a written financial plan for the fund campaign period, and then leave in the second sentence the statement should also take into account.
Right.
Number 3, I don't know.
Hold on. Number 2 is what? This
a period after campaign, eliminate
campaign.
Which to Minnesota.
Okay.
And then the second sentence, keep that in. I don't know enough about 3. So.
Let's see, the next one was what?
Leave in the second sentence.
Leave in the second
the statement
sentence.
Should also take into account the impact.
That's what you got.
Okay.
Yes.
And 3.
I
Andy?
Guess I'd have to skip. It's going to be awesome.
Maybe you could put a majority of the funds.
Well, just take the last sentence out.
Okay.
Take the last sentence out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then number 4, leave out which is recommended in the state arts plan.
What is that?
Last line.
Is recommended.
And then on number 6, leave out under the direction of the state arts board.
I guess I'm still concerned as to whether or not this really should be a recommendation or if it is indeed a finding of the commission. Just reiterating what Ann had said, because I'm not sure how delineating all these different steps are going to aid the legislature in their process or make or break our case.
Don't we have other recommendations that we don't have teeth in?
Right. Yeah, we're talking to a broader universe than just the legislature. We are deliberately talking to the arts community, the organizations and their contributors, as well as, and with equal force, that was the whole concept of the commission, as well as the public sector, as well as the legislature.
Yeah. If you are then making it information, then you should at least have some place that it, some central records bureau where it's all going to be maintained. You know, or for, you know.
I don't think you need that. It's all voluntary from the beginning.
Right, but if you take out, as the latest proposal is, State Arts Board, you write up your information, what do you do with it?
Well, it helps you in two ways. It helps you, number one, in planning a campaign,
yeah.
And number two, it helps donors who want to give to you.
Oh,
to
so
ask
the donor would actually, so this would in effect be maintained in the files of the organization, and that's
yes.
All the further it would necessarily go.
That's correct.
Would there be any point in recommending, as Tom suggests, that somehow this be accessible so that all organizations don't have to go through, I mean, perhaps some of the groundwork is done once and then becomes available to assist other people rather than having everyone...
You bound by the State Arts Board.
That's what the last paragraph
says. But, what David suggests that the last paragraph covers this.
Yeah.
Minnesota State Arts Board may well provide technical assistance and capital endeavors by providing the system-wide information necessary to meet the standards set forth in points 1 and 2 above.
Minnesota State Arts Board might well provide technical assistance and capital endeavors. And I think you can eliminate by providing the statewide.
Yeah, but doesn't that go against Sandy's concern that they're going to end up in an area that they might not at this point in time want to be?
Well, we are in a position to make grants for technical assistance in terms of consultants. We don't have to provide it ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
We do that now. I mean, we have made grants for planning for arts organizations.
The fact that we don't. That first sentence does not recommend that any of the above components be mandatory.
Mm-hmm.
That specifies that. Might well provide, it's all very conditional.
All right. No thought will change if you make.
Well, we've got a number of them.
All right. Andy, why don't you go through with the changes you were making on top of the two or three we've already had here?
All right.
Let's try and get one version that we're talking about.
Okay, in number one, we'd eliminate as set forth in the State Arts Plan. In number two, we would eliminate which includes consideration of the impact that such a facility might have on the capital dollars available to all the arts in Minnesota. In three, I don't have anything put in there, but I think you want to reflect that it had a certain percentage of its funds.
Why not just eliminate the last sentence?
Drop the last sentence,
and you could change the word until it is reasonably certain,
right.
Which takes the threat out of it.
And number four, you'd eliminate in the last line on the page, which is recommended in the State Arts Plan. And then I've edited a little bit more. Be supported by expected operating income, our organization could then address the State Arts Board with a request for assistance. And eliminate the above documentation and. So it would read with a request for assistance.
Right.
Five and six, we just eliminate. Five, I have no change. Six, on the last, second to last line of six, you would put a period after process and eliminate under the direction of the State Arts Board be conducted.
Well, yeah, the public review process be conducted.
Be conducted, right. Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
The next sentence then, commission's expectation, request for documentation.
I'd leave the first sentence.
And then we might say in the second, the State Arts Board might well provide technical assistance in preparing this documentation or providing information for this documentation.
Yes, I think so.
Technical assistance by providing the system-wide information necessary in preparation of such documentation.
Yeah.
I would make a change. Back that first paragraph, if any organization does decide to launch a new capital campaign in this environment, the planning for this fund drive could include.
Could.
Mm-hmm. Which again makes it, does not make it mandatory, but simply shows this as a series of suggestions of elements.
Well, Steve, are you on the very first part of number 8?
Yeah, I went back.
If you were to say, ought to carefully review the current capital and operating environment of their constituency area.
Yes.
Because there aren't very many that reach way out
of the community, but I think that is better. Yeah. Constituency area. Is that what you said, constituency area? Of its constituency?
When we say of its constituency.
Of its constituency.
Or of its constituency, yeah. Andy, I didn't get your... What did you cut out in number 2?
Which includes consideration of the impact that such a facility might have on the capital dollars
You're
available.
Cutting that out.
Cutting that out completely.
Yeah, okay.
All right.
In number 5,
I had a question whether that was necessary. It seems to me. Yes, I think that you accomplished the point with the first sentence. I also believe that you are more effective with brevity as a general rule, anyhow. All right. Any other suggestions?
I just got a question about why we need the last sentence of 4.
At all, right?
Should an organization?
I think that came about because we contemplate that a state arts plan might demonstrate that there's a deficiency in the system, like a dance performing facility. And it would point that out, and then some organization or organizations might respond to that by saying, here's a plan to build one. And I think that's what we had. Is that right? I think that's what we have in mind in this one.
Yeah, that's right.
So that should be eliminated.
Yeah.
Okay. Without a state arts plan, there's no point in saying.
Okay.
They can come to the state arts board with the request anyway.
Good organization. Strike the last sentence in paragraph 4.
You can actually further streamline that by, in the first sentence of paragraph 4, a careful assessment of the operating expenditures and income, and then take the second sentence out.
Operating expenditures and income.
Okay.
Yeah.
This is going to be the shortest recommendation by the time we get done.
Now, is everybody tracking on these changes? All right,
I'll move their recommendation 8 version 3 with the changes that have been articulated by Mr. Andrews.
Is there a second?
Second.
Is there any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Well, I'm in favor of adding to read the way I think of that.
<We're> unanimous.
All Opposed? Carried. We all theoretically have the version. All right. I propose we take a 2-minute break and then we'll try and wrap this up. We have only one major section to do, but it's a very important one.
Which one is that?
Oh, state arts plan. Which?
There wasn't a single school that said both the classroom teachers had a special.
They didn't raise any money.
I'm not saying all our specific things are the same. Learn about the arts.
But it went on. They raised money. That basis of then keep in the local community.
Personal disposable income from now until 84.
impossible.
Where's the reference?
It says, if the level remains constant while operating expenditures grow, then the 25% private sector will, it'll take all the current dollars.
All of the all of the dollars that were being raised in 1975 or whatever year it is.
Yeah, I think it's
but
just
I
that
think that's
goal.
A statement okay. without particular significance.
I think what that statement is saying is that unless private sector support grows, A, by inflation, which it is now, and B, by constant dollars, which it is not doing now.
But that's all the first set part of that says.
Then there will be no monies in the private sector for both operating support and capital fund drives.
Okay, I accept it. But I say it, I don't think it means much, Steve. In other words, if we say, I say that if there's no change in the level of giving from 75, the capital part of it will be eaten up by rising costs.
That's right. That's right.
But in an economy with rising personal disposable income, do you think it's likely that private giving will stay constant? I don't.
In the economy from 1967, 68, somewhere in that period, is studied by several different organizations nationally. While personal disposable income and corporate income was going up from the period 67, 68, all the way through 1975, giving to the arts bottomed out. It dropped during that whole entire period. In fact, I don't expect it to stay at 12 million. I expect it to go down to something like 10.
Well, we can make sure that doesn't happen here.
I think the corrections we put on there, it's a true statement of the fact. The only point is, again, if giving does not increase, we've got a problem. And that's what this says, and I think you ought to focus on it. And that you can't do both on the current level of giving. All right.
Could you read that, how the last sentence will read? Because the way it says now, all private sector dollars, that means the monies that might go to hospitals, education,
Not read in context, I don't think.
Not read.
Okay, but can I hear how it might be rewritten?
As noted in finding 10 above, private sector support of the operating budgets has only been... Now, that follows the capital... The caption is capital endeavors of nonprofit arts organizations. The building of new arts facilities and so on. Public sector contributed 4.5%. No public monies were expended. Almost $60 million were raised. Capital contributed to Minnesota's nonprofit arts organizations during the 69-75 period was raised in the private sector. As noted in finding 10 above, private sector support of operating budgets has only been keeping pace with the rate of inflation, and if in current trends persist, it will fall below this level in the near future. If the level of total private sector support in actual dollars remains relatively constant through 1984, while operating expenditures continue to grow, the 25% private sector share of operating expenditures recommended by the Commission will require all private sector dollars by 1984, period.
But I think what you're really saying will require a quantity of private sector dollars equal to the total collected for capital and operating funds in 1975. That's clear.
Yeah, all right, that's fine.
The last sentence also says that between now and 84, the gap there is being filled by the $13 million that are uncollected so far. Seems to me some version of the last sentence is also necessary, because that's the third sentence, second last sentence in that paragraph, speaks to 1984. The last sentence says between now and 84, that gap is going to be filled by raising $13 million to pay off the two major, isn't it, Jimmy, the two drives?
No, it's not the two drives so much anymore. Some of it, about a half of it is part of the two drives, and the rest of it is the four other drives.
Okay.
The depot and the
I think this sentence should be reworked maybe in some way, this final sentence, because I'm talking to people who are doing these other capital drives. They are concerned when they hear this finding that we're saying that there won't even be enough money just for Betty Musser to do the old federal courts building, which is, that's quite a bit of money left to raise.
But that's in there. That's part of it.
The last sentence.
Yeah, that.
That's what I mean, it's necessary, but I mean, there's some talk before.
All right, we are going to revise that last sentence.
Well, I think.
I would say maybe that between 1975 and 1984, it appears that only the needs, et cetera.
All right. What?
Well, I think you're better to take it out. I mean, just leave it out.
Yeah, we were dropping that sentence.
Right,
we were revising the previous sentence.
Oh, I was talking about
I
even the last sentence being dropped.
Yeah, drop that.
That's
revise the previous one.
That's what I thought.
I think that's the thing to do.
Yes.
But
all right.
The opinion Linda was expressing was that if we leave that recommendation without the last sentence, people from the private sector reading this will think that they ought to give to operating and therefore not give to capital. And the people who are currently running capital fund drives are concerned that they will not be able to complete their capital without a sentence like this, saying that they ought to continue
right.
their.
That's why I
to the
originally
project.
Inserted the sentence because. I mentioned this to Betty Musser. She came up to me and said, "Oh dear, it can't be true." You know, she read it as saying that her fund drive could not go further, and I think it's.
That might have been read in the context of the earlier version of recommendation number 8,
mm-hmm.
but I don't see how it would be read that way as it now stands.
Well, I don't know. It might be implied, though, by saying that the commission, you know, will require. The same amount of private sector dollars given in 1975, you know,
sure.
to go to only operating accounts. I think it is a valid concern of other people who have capital drives with a lot of money
outstanding.
Yeah,
but that's the modification you just, somebody just articulated, or the
right,
evidence
I just wrote it in,
if
right.
You,
yeah,
you got
that's
that
what you're
there.
Revising.
Yes, but I'm saying even the final sentence, I think, is somewhat necessary. Maybe in the structure that it appears that only these can
all right.
be met.
Authorize you to revise both. Let's see what it looks like. All right, we are then approving finding 17 with the deletion of the sentence beginning total private sector contributions, and we are revising the final two sentences. Motion to that effect?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Many organizations we approved, artists we approved, educational system, I think it's my recommendation, you have the findings before you, but we delay approving that until we have the expanded work that we are asking Jimmy to do for the next meeting. Yes?
I have some concern about first paragraph, page 14, the second sentence. I realize what Jimmy is trying to say, that we have a lot of these programs going on throughout the state, but I think it is read as it is happening in every district. And I think it has to be stated some other way. At all grade levels in both private and public schools throughout the state, students have the opportunity to learn about the arts and to participate as performers in arts productions. I think the all, and I just don't think that's a good statement.
Well, it's in all grade levels, but in most public and private schools, isn't that it?
I think the all bothers me. I don't think that is true throughout the state.
It's too general.
In most, yeah.
All right.
And in some arts productions or something like that.
Before we lose everybody, I would like to see how much we can handle of the last section, which is pages 15, 16, and 17.
Five.
Now, the first paragraph of that has been reviewed before. First two paragraphs. The third paragraph incorporates the total budget. I guess the only question I have is whether the commission should be endorsing the total budget. I think that is an overstatement, David, isn't it?
Yeah, the two people that called me are very concerned about our making specific recommendations, and they looked at this and said, well, that, we thought that was kind of language was going to be used for instance, which is the way your memorandum was originally presented, mm-hmm. and that part of our charge was not to come up with a specific appropriation, but just to show the problems in the system and so forth. And both Bill Opsahl and Gene Warlick indicated they did not favor our getting as specific as the dollar amounts indicated.
Yeah, what I would like to see, the reason they got in there, I know, was there was some discussion we get halfway to the point of what the total dollars are, but then we stop short, and that doesn't help people. I think what I would do is have the 2 million, whatever it is, 43,000 figure, and then by footnote or whatever, show if other elements were added to it, the total appropriation would be. But that takes it out of the form of recommending the total appropriation of 2.5, 2.6. Mm-hmm. And that also gets the commission and the State Arts Board off of the hook. I'd rather not have us saying it has to be this dollar amount and getting into an argument of what the community organization's budget is supposed to be and what the educational budget is supposed to be, because those are all, along with nonprofit organizations, that's all give and take within the legislative process. The dollars can be whipsawed back and forth and then arbitrarily lumped later on in various categories. And to have us saying it ought to be in these particular categories, and then have the other, have a legislation come out, or one version come out differently, it means that there's an opportunity to come in and whipsaw one against the other.
Steve, instead of saying that the total needed in 78 or 79 will be or is, couldn't we just say we estimate that the total need will be so much in 78, so much in 79?
I mean, this just follows from the trend study.
The 2 million figure, the 2,043, we have stated previously, we have already approved the finding, that that is a need. It's the question of how we categorize these other items, which are add-ons. I think it's appropriate to show, and my suggestion is that it be in the form of a footnote, that there clearly are add-ons. We're not anticipating the 2,043,000 to be the only monies that go. And I think we have that as a responsibility of the State Arts Board, for one, that we aren't saying to the legislature, just appropriate 2,043,000. They say that's fine. Carve out your administrative expense from that. Carve out education. Carve out scholarships. Carve out this and so on. I think we can handle that by a footnote, but I would rather, I think the recommendation should be at the 2,043,000. Is there any dissent to that procedure?
Oh, I think maybe if we, yes, so the way you said that for nonprofits, and then this does not include funds.
All right. You said that in recommendation three.
Right, but just restate it there since we're talking about all arts resources.
All right, then we can footnote and add in by footnote what the other elements would be. Steve.
A note of caution, the word add-on may imply non-essential. I think you might want to say other essential categories are.
Steve, I defer to your political judgment, but I think my gut feeling is that this presentation is better. But I leave it up to you. I don't know.
It's subject to criticism, which the 2,043,000 figure is not. We have established the case for the 2,043,000 figure. We cannot establish, other than simply incorporating the State Arts Board's analysis, the need for $68,000, the need for $42,000, the need for $310,000. I would rather avoid that issue because we do not have the facilities available to it, and I'd rather not get into a discussion of what are appropriate dollars for administration of the State Arts Board. It puts them in a better position to defend themselves, and they can rely on the State Planning Agency and the push and pull within the administrative process when they get that budget in front of them. But we can't put in a perimeter on something we haven't studied. All right. I would then, with some editorial, the other changes that I would recommend, we consistently have used the word the commission rather than the Governor's Commission on the Arts. With the change, though, that the items indicated will end, will be so marked either in a footnote or other appropriate fashion. Do we have a motion to approve recommendation 11?
Do we want other dollar figures in the footnote? I wasn't clear on that. Okay.
Well, now we also have Atherton Bean's proposal about how any funding, you know, should encourage support.
Yes, that was to be a recommendation which we will insert, and we'll have to approve that formally next time. So we are approving this subject to that recommendation going in and subject to this being handled in another fashion.
Is there Atherton should be a separate recommendation, though?
Oh, I don't think necessarily.
Okay.
I think you could just, here we're recommending that they direct public funds, and it's really a subcategory. Mm-hmm. I don't think it.
Is there a motion? So approving recommendation 11.
So moved.
Is there a second? Seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. We are now on 16.
I'd like a clarification on the inventory of arts resources. Is that what is meant?
Yes, sir.
Where should I write?
Dodging the question.
Where are you?
I think that was a term used in the delivery system. That was one we had debate about, and I meant to change that from last time.
What paragraph are you referring to?
That's the second paragraph.
All right, have we nowhere now defined that term?
I think in the delivery system it was. That's where it's
used.
Well,
you talk about it here. It's a definition right at the start. Cultural event we define.
We've discussed this endlessly. I can't believe it's not in here anywhere.
I thought we had decided last time to eliminate that on the theory that we were recommending the development of a state arts plan, but that presumably we don't know what that plan will include, and we're second guessing.
We specifically, on three occasions, have approved resolutions with the word state arts resources in it. And have included in that definition an expanded concept beyond major arts institutions, and that reflects sentiment in the commission that there is more, that A, the arts organizations, to the extent they have to be categorized, and we all admit that there has to be a categorization of some type, ought to be categorized in terms of their function rather than type or quality or whatever. And then secondly, that it is a broader concept than just institution. And that's why the word resource was selected.
Am I talking about the same recommendation as you are? I'm on recommendation 12.
I was back on 11 with the word resources.
It's in 12 as well. Second paragraph, middle of the paragraph in 12.
Mm-hmm. We had discussion last time on, you know, as to whether we should be telling the state arts board what it's going to be in its plan. And I thought that we felt that it was inappropriate to predict.
No. Well, we're not telling them what's going to be in their plan. We're telling them how to make their plan.
So we shouldn't. Last time we agreed, I thought that was inappropriate.
I don't think it was agreed on, though, and I think I checked the minutes, and there's some question on the whole thing. I thought it was left.
Here's what the minutes say about that. The concept and cost of inventorying all arts resources in the state were discussed. A biennial needs assessment put the cost of implementing this recommendation at $30,000. The agency to perform the delivery functions was also discussed. Since the state arts board was already moving in the direction of a system of inventory, assessment, and method of decision-making, it seemed logical to be a logical evolution to have this agency participate in grant-making on a broader scale and ad hoc grants.
Yeah.
that was the discussion. Mr. Blecker, as I recall, brought up the problem, the whole problem of inventory, and there was some discussion about corner drugstores and the like. Right. And then on this side, both Mr. Durenberger and Mr. Brosi discussed the inventory process and said that we were talking about the major organizations, and the State Arts Board was certainly competent to draw a cutoff line that the inventory was $30,000 and there was really no problem with that.
However, I specifically remember myself raising the issue that I thought we were going beyond our mandate.
And I recall disagreeing with you.
And that is not reflected in the minutes. And I think we should have jumped ahead of you.
How can we...
No, there was... David is right that we did not reach a consensus on that. The only consensus we reached was that this particular recommendation was to be rewritten and considered again.
Yeah.
Because there was both sides
okay,
of it.
Okay, so I'm raising that issue again.
Right.
That's all I'm doing.
Sure. David.
I'm all for the State Arts Board developing a plan, but I wonder about the language that says it will inventory the arts resources in the state. After all, this is a commission that has just spent an incredible amount of money to do an inventory, precisely that sort of inventory, an inventory which no one will ever have the financial wherewithal to duplicate again, God willing. And now we're asking, having finished that task, we're asking as a first order of business that the State Arts Board begin an inventory? I mean, that's crazy. Besides which, they don't have the resources to do that. And I'm not sure that's what we want to suggest. If the State Arts Board wants to come to some of its own conclusions, it has the right to do so without any statement on our part. It seems to me that what they're doing, and we should state this as simply as possible, what we want the State Arts Board to do is to come up with a set of priorities and goals. It seems to me that the data in the background has been, I think there was
a slightly broader concept, David, which was that the data that the commission has acquired, has assembled and acquired, and now has available, can be at a relatively modest cost updated at least biannually and made available not only to the State Arts Board itself and the legislature but also to the private sector as a very useful tool in decision making and evaluation.
Well, that's fine, but there's nothing in the mandate of the State Arts Board to prevent them from doing so. And no one is asking that they obtain a special appropriation to facilitate them.
That's right.
So why do we have to mention it at all? I mean, let them do that. I think it's a very appropriate thing to do, but I don't know that...
The concept we're asking for is a state arts plan, I think it really goes beyond our role if we tell them how to do it.
I agree, and they can... We're looking for some very, very broad policy objectives. They may, and the State Arts Board can reach those whichever way it wants, so far as I'm concerned. They may decide, you know, its members, unlike ours, are appointed, serve longer terms. I guess we're all appointed too, but they're subject to the political process.
Hopefully they serve longer terms.
They're confirmed by the legislature. Let them, you know, that's one of the reasons. That's so, is that they have to make these sensitive decisions, and I wouldn't tie their hands in how they make them. They may have to come up with a decision that it's, for instance, it's a very low priority for institutions like the orchestra to be brought out to small towns, that's not a good idea. It's much better to establish a small local chamber music group than to bring the Minnesota Orchestra to a town. I mean, that's pure conjecture, but who knows how those decisions are made? That's their problem and their task.
Let me make. I have some problems with some of the wording of this, also, and this does represent a first run through of a revised draft. Let me offer you my suggestions, and then I'd like to get to specifically David's point. And my changes are basically to clarify what we're aiming at, and they don't get to David's ultimate question. What I would like to suggest is the first sentence be changed by adding some language. It now reads, it is the opinion of the Commission that these limited state funds for the arts can be most effective if used on a systematic basis. I would add, to help focus attention and stimulate development along the lines of statewide priorities.
because I think what we're saying, the whole purpose of a plan is not just to be systematic, but to help focus evolution. At least the extent state funds are so used. Then I did not think it was necessary to go into what I then said was, as a second sentence, the commission recommends that the state arts board, in consultation with regional representatives, develop a state arts plan in the coming year, period.
Is the rest necessary?
And I think the only thing that I then found was necessary was that what was left of the next sentence, and that's as far as I got, which was, this plan should set guidelines for service maintenance and arts developments in each region and for the entire state. And I felt that was important because we're clearly talking about two things happening. One is independent regional arts councils making independent grants but operating in a federated system in tandem with and under a state arts plan administered by the state arts board. And therefore the role of the plan is to establish statewide standards under which that regional grant making can occur. Now I did not have a problem with going any further than that. And I guess David's point is, do we need to? Well, first of all, is that language up to that point acceptable? I think it merely clarifies what we're trying to do here. All right, I gather there's a consensus of the commission on that. Now let's go to David's point. David Dernberger, do you have any strong reservations?
I'm so tired of discussing this, but I've been doing it since July that I really forgot he focused on. I don't know how many of you have read the report of the state arts board adopted on a state arts plan. That's the kind of thing we're talking about. I think we ought to be endorsing that sort of thing, and we ought to be endorsing it both for the expenditure of public money and the contributions of private money. But the one important thing here, I guess, is that we are recommending this funding categories, or whatever you call them, of statewide arts resources in lieu of the so-called majors, which is now in the legislation, and regional arts resources, individual artists, and ancillary arts agencies. But I think the planning process, if you will, is very clearly laid out in the document the State Arts Board has approved from that regional task force. We ought to be saying, get going. You know, you did a good job. Keep it moving and get it done the next 6-8 months, because the whole state is depending on that and the recommendations that come out of it as a way to spend both public and private money. So we say no more on that.
Well, if you take the word inventory out there and put in something like consider, then you bridge that gap to some degree.
See, on one hand, we're talking about endorsing something that already exists, and yet here we're saying we want them to develop a plan. Yeah. And so, theoretically, we don't have this plan, and yet we're asking for it.
What I was going to suggest in view of these comments was to change the second sentence, my version, which is, therefore, the commission recommends the State Arts Board in consultation with the regional representatives, develop the state arts plan that developed in the coming year, to say that therefore the commission encourages the state arts board to continue its development, which adds the imprimatur of the work.
It doesn't have a plan now. It's got a suggested system for developing a plan. So we're going to say, take that bunch of recommendations and develop a plan. Isn't that right, Steve? Isn't that where you're at right now?
Yeah, that's a fair assessment.
All right, then Should we add a statement? We believe the plan should include at least these elements: state arts resources, artists. Do we then say community programs, or is it community organizations and educational system? I think it's important to say something about community organizations and educational systems. We specifically stated that we would like to see more money available to the State Arts Board for those purposes. And this would be our imprimatur, that the plan itself is to include those. It also would therefore give it the mandate to see that the regional plans have that.
I have no problem with state arts resources, regional arts resources, and individual artists as funding categories. Ancillary arts agencies can either be a funding category or a part of the delivery system. Education, park and rec, all that sort of thing can just be a part of the delivery system as a statewide arts resource or a regional arts resource. I don't know that that has to be a separate funding category.
That's right. Ancillary could fall either statewide or regional.
We could just take out the funding, the word funding, these categories.
Right,
well, I think it has to be a funding category, so we could pull out the ancillary arts agencies, as long as they work.
The arts resources, nonprofit arts organization, artists, arts programs, community organizations should be classified, would be classified according to these categories?
I'd leave the word funding in, but I would delete ancillary arts agencies below because they're not a funding category. They're part of both regional and statewide.
Currently, your budget request doesn't run.
Should we leave out individual artists? Aren't they a statewide resource? Mm-hmm. Leave them out too.
Except that we've specifically focused on individual artists.
Well, I guess I see it as a problem though. If you do one, you do both.
So you mentioned artists up above. The arts resources, colon, nonprofit arts organizations, artists, and arts programs in community organizations and the education system would be classified according to the funding into these funding categories. State level, regional level.
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because that's consistent with the report of our
yeah.
Regional task
force. Yeah, all right, right. Do you want to add in there local arts resources?
I think, Steve, that the feeling, I didn't mean to jump in, but I think the feeling, at least at Ray Bozy, was that if it were not a statewide resource, it is by fact a regional resource. Whether it just has a very local or countywide impact, it's classified as a regional resource.
Well, the reason I raise that point is one of the feedbacks that we had when these recommendations first started going around the state was that a number of people liked the concept of three tiers, if you will, in that it lessened the shock or the differentiation between a state arts resource and a local arts resource if there was a third category and a regional arts resource was in between in level. And I think this went entirely to the emotional impact of somebody being a statewide arts resource or not being a statewide arts resource, and maybe it is such a fine point that in terms of a public policy you don't need to fine-tune it in that fashion. Steve, I really defer to you on that.
We didn't find that a problem in our discussions. People were comfortable with the two-tiered concept, recognizing the fact that at the regional level local projects would receive sufficient attention. That the regions are not too big to mm-hmm. deal with local.
Mm-hmm. Well, I have no strong views on it. If there's no problem with it, I wouldn't push it. All right, so we are now saying that, I guess, is it the discussion that the State Arts Board should inventory the arts resources in the state, assess the needs of existing arts resources, and establish the methods to provide those resources needed by Minnesota citizens. Next sentence, the arts resources, colon, nonprofit arts organizations, artists, and arts programs and community organizations and the educational system would be classified according to these funding categories, colon, state arts resources, resources having statewide impact, close parenthesis, and regional arts resources, period.
I would put another parenthesis in there for consistency and say resources having regional or local impact. That's where you get your word local.
Right. Okay.
Did we all agree that we would retain the inventory in the previous paragraph?
I think you ought to go back to
yes.
that.
I thought that was...
Yes, I did. I said the Minnesota State Arts Board will inventory the arts resources in the state, assess the needs.
I question whether we agreed that we would retain that.
Well, you can do that by picking up our stuff if you want. It doesn't mean you got to take $100,000 and start.
Let me come back.
Yeah.
Resources having regional...
why don't you just use the word consider as distinguish from inventory?
Yeah,
because then they can in effect pick up our whole study.
Well, I think I'd rather let's address the issue frontally, at least for purposes of discussion. Is it appropriate for the State Arts Board to undertake periodically to update the data that the commission has used so far, or not?
I think it's very inappropriate for this commission to suggest to the State Arts Board what it do in that regard. I mean, how can we say we did this great job with this data and you are permanently charged at your own cost with keeping it going? I think that would be, if I were a member of the State Arts Board, I would want to keep it updated because I think it is good data. And I think that it would be good to keep going, but I don't see how we can tell another group what to do in that regard.
I think not to say it means that we may well have wasted our time, that everything we did was sort of ridiculous if we don't say that somebody should be doing this periodically.
I think we ought to say it.
Yeah. How specific we did, you can argue about.
I don't think the State Arts Board is going to boggle at being told this, are they?
Depending on the wording that's used.
But we took out the word all last time.
Yeah.
Well, that started with two kids on the corner.
Yeah.
Well, look, when you have, if we're either going to get state funding, public funding, or enough. If we get public funding, it's not conceivable to me that you aren't going to get the request from the legislature to have ongoing data about the needs. And the question then is whether whoever is getting the data, presumably it will be the State Arts Board, is going to look to the study that's been done by this commission. I would think that of course they look to it. It's far and away, it's the only mountain in the land of valleys. There's been no study, and here's the champion study of all time. And I think they'd be influenced by it. And if we say things, then we're mandating them to get into the study business, which is an enormously expensive thing. It's one thing to look at what somebody else has done and to use it to try and keep oneself going. It's another thing to have a specific mandate to do a study. Then you feel you have to allocate resources and time, and especially with this as the model of the kind of resources and time, I think we use the entire budget of the State Arts Board.
I guess what I would be comfortable with recommending is something along the lines that the commission recommends that the State Arts Board consider periodically updating the inventory of arts resources along the lines developed by the commission. I don't even know that you need that.
Why don't we just say something like they do whatever is prudent to do a good job of planning. Yeah. I know what David's saying is this is a red flag that looks like lots of dollars and it looks like all they're going to do is generate studies and planning. And so we ought to get rid of this
and
substitute
make it
for it something that says they do a responsible
job
of planning.
This is not anything that could be done as an ancillary function of another institution. You have to have a huge pot of money, a specific gubernatorial mandate, and a group of citizens doing nothing else with their voluntary time but this. Really, you can't say that this should then be continued in a natural way, because it can't be. I think we disserve the fine work of this commission staff when we think that it can be updated with the kind of resources that the State Arts Board would be limited to putting into it.
Well, I guess to
David, my understanding from the discussion earlier was that there is at least a feeling that the elements, for example, not that, that the primary arch survey is the final word in this area. In fact, we know now if we're going to do it again, we would revise the questions. But that it would be a relatively simple task to send out the primary arch survey in 2 years' time, revised, have the data come back, hire a I don't know whether it's a computer programmer or what, to have the material programmed exactly as it was programmed here, the crosstab system be utilized, and the statistical data pulled out just as it was, and that if you had one person employed for that function with ancillary services, which we estimated the whole thing would be like $30,000, you could do exactly what we are talking about in terms of updating the database.
Well, $30,000 is a lot of money to start with. And second, I mean, I'm against it both philosophically and practically and politically. I don't know what any other way you could be.
You've just covered the waterfront, David.
Well, I mean, it's not. What are we saddling the state arts board with? When you have the Walker Commission on Governor Walker looking at the one from Illinois on demonstrations in the Chicago
Kerner,
that was, you know. Yeah. I get all those.
former governor. I don't know what happened to Kerner.
In happier days, headed a commission.
Now convict number 3000.
Yes, also known as 36192. And one said, had a report about how to handle civil disturbances of this sort, and they had recommendations, and a vivid report came down and went to all the law enforcement officials of the nation. They did not have a footnote at the end of that that said, now every 3 years, update the data from this commission because the facts might change. That's implied. They're saying that we had a great big study commission, this is what we found at this point. Presumably, as the facts change, each state and each local law enforcement official will try and keep abreast of the changes.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess that one of the reasons that it was also suggested was the desire to make available to the private sector that updated set of data in terms of making their decision making easier and also having more of statewide data available when they do make it. Now I guess the all that can be done in terms of making a simple recommendation here to the State Arts Board that it consider periodically updating, maintaining or periodically updating an inventory of arts resources in the state. And I'm not sure that inventory is the best word, because I guess we're talking about a series of concepts which are income expenditures, organizations, use of funds within the organizations, and so on.
My feeling about it is that the recommendations that the commission made, the 55-25-20, if you take those seriously, take the way we got to that dollar figure seriously, that the State Arts Board in 4 years is going to go in with a study that was done in 1975 and you say, well, you're still recommending 20%, but 20% of what? How do you get to the dollar figure? You're still basing it on the data that came out of the 75 study. And the only way to get to that new dollar figure is to have some idea of what expenditures are in the industry.
Yeah, they're not going to be permitted to
but
get away with that.
Aren't we really talking about maintain up-to-date information as possible? Mm-hmm. Rather than, really the language now does suggest going through this whole thing every other year. Really what we're concerned seems to be is just to have current information.
Look, this was a special group that was brought together to do a study intensively, an intensive study that hadn't been done before. And it's done it, and I think, an extremely good job. It's got a terrific database and so on. And it's spent a lot of money and spent an enormous amount of time to do that. I think that it's a height of folly to assume that that special task, which will get a great deal of well-deserved credit by itself if it's let to stand, is going to somehow be able to be perpetuated year after year. That wasn't why we were created. This wasn't the purpose of this commission wasn't to be a permanent database for the State Arts Board. It was to study the state of the arts today. Now, the trouble with today is that tomorrow it's not going to be here anymore, but that's true of everything you study. The reason the Kinsey Report, the Kinsey Report had a big impact is nobody had ever studied that subject very much. Well, it was outdated 10 years later, so somebody else then did another study. Now, Playboy did another study. Somebody, other companies do studies. You can't keep these studies. Nobody ever suggested that Kinsey go back to the same people and ask how things are going that year. I think this just doesn't make sense.
Yeah, the only thing I'm concerned about, I guess, I indicated one area, which is the impact that this information would have on an updated basis to the private sector. The other is that we're talking about the State Arts Board assuming far more of a planning, policy-making role. Inherent in that is the updated information. There's no other way to do it. Otherwise, you're going to sit down and draw a plan in the abstract. It seems to me this is one of the areas where, you know, that's one of the elements of the planning process. Now, perhaps it doesn't have to be hit that heavily. On the other hand, if you don't say it, and we're concerned about saying it for fear that it might be mandated, the converse is that it won't be done.
Yeah, but you're assuming that these decisions are made solely, if the legislature appropriates money, is going to do so solely on the data that we produce. There are so many policy considerations mm-hmm. involved here too that I think we don't want the tail wagging the dog, and the data is the tail, and
right.
we would really be perpetuating that. I think it's almost been too true on this commission, and we would be perpetuating that problem if we say that keep revising the data because every appropriation that's going to be made is going to be based on it. I don't think it should be based on it. This was a help. We're trying to give people a clear picture of the art situation in Minnesota today, and based on that, all sorts of policy decisions should be made. And we're saying they shouldn't be made. We're saying that there's a direct correlation between the data as of a given second and what appropriations should be made, and so this whole process has got to continue moving in time, and I don't think that's the way it works, and I don't think that was our function.
David?
My whole purpose in supporting that sort of thing was to make sure that, try to make the case for information, try to get some money in the State Arts Board to do this sort of thing. But if it's a consensus that it is going to be done anyway from other resources the State Arts Board has, then drop it. Jack Heschler said that he couldn't believe a Republican came up with this sort of thing. And,
a plan.
I don't know what it has to do with politics, but in my mind it's saying, you know, good information. If you're going to spend $4 million in a biennium, you ought to have some good information to base it on.
Yeah, well, I'm not arguing against good information. I would be delighted if the State Arts Board would find some way to update that data. I'm just saying I don't see how we can mandate it, and if we do, we run into the problem of having them. If we succeeded in that, we might be forcing the State Arts Board to spend half its budget on updating.
Are you willing to accept a weasel word like consider?
Isn't it implicit though that in the process of defending a request for support that the agency would have to have solid data? I just wonder whether, you know, now that we've gotten to the point where we say there should be a plan, that you go, is it necessary to go beyond and indicate the methodology of developing that plan?
I don't know. I was just trying to make a case for a commitment to information gathering as part of the planning process, and it ought to be done periodically, so that it would reinforce your argument when you went in there, and you would say, well, since they did it, you know, it's going to be much simpler for us to do it in the future. In fact, it couldn't cost us more than $25,000-$30,000 mm-hmm. or something like that. And then you got an argument for every 2 years of a little piece of your budget that has $30,000 bucks in it for data processing or something like that.
Why don't we just cut out that
I care, Liz. Well,
let Steve Sell do the best he can.
My suggested alternative language, before we eliminate it entirely, was the commission encourages the State Arts Board to develop and maintain current information on arts resources in the state. Period.
Well, I assume they're doing that anyway.
Yeah,
as a matter of fact, the basic universe that the Governor's Commission started out with was a universe that we provided. It's been substantially augmented and corrected.
I'm glad you added that qualification, since there were some 100-odd outside organizations we discovered for you.
Let's go with your language.
Which?
Your last language.
My last language was that the Commission encourages the State Arts Board to develop and maintain current information on arts resources in the state, period.
Well, let's take how about the develop and, though, if you maintain.
To update its information.
What?
Update its information?
Well,
instead of maintaining current.
To maintain. I mean, maintain.
All right, guess develop current information, says it. Yes.
Yeah.
And arts resources in the state. Now, do we say.
I guess I'd like to say, just from the standpoint of private sector giving, that I found it's helpful to have other states' reports just on just a fiscal sheet coming out, not a whole primary survey.
Yes, I guess the remainder of the sentence I consider basically tautological, because that is part of the legislative process to present the need and how the state is going to meet that need. All right. Now, before you all leave, is that going to be the rewritten format of Recommendation 12?
Should the record show that Mr. Sell is leaving?
No, I think the record shows Mr. Sell in enthusiastic attendance.
When is our next final meeting?
I vote yes.
One second.
Don't do that, Andy.
One second. Yes. Recommendation 12. We are approving it as rewritten.
Right.
Yes.
There's no dissent.
This is my proxy to dead 11.
All right. And we will do 13 and 14 next time.
We do, right?
No, and 15. We
do. How about an all-day meeting?
Yeah. I think we need to. All right. The next meeting is scheduled for the 6th, and we hope it's the last meeting of the commission. Also expect to send out materials in advance before that and have editorial comments back so that we are voting rather than discussing.
I won't be in town then, but I'll see if we can get appropriate editorial.
I won't either, Atherton.
I won't. Steve.
What?
December 6th. It's a bad day. You won't be here either.
We can't.
Make it
the 13th. Should we do it? No. We can't let her close the 13th, and we're not going to get the thing done. We'll have to do it someday that week. If Monday is bad, we'll do it Tuesday.
It's only one day.
What?
Mine is only a one-day meeting.
All right, so we could do it conceivably on that Tuesday.
Who would have thought when Governor Anderson appointed this commission that we would outlast?
How do you feel?
Okay. David, you knew that was a very serious question.
Are you?
You think so?
Yes.
Are you?